This is PFW in progress.
Any attack made by the rebels against this station would be a useless gesture.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
PFW in progress.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
With Fred Kirsch.
Will somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way?
Paul Perillo.
No. Stay and help you, I will.
Jedi Master, take it to him, I will. But now, we must eat.
Come.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything's under control. Situation normal. Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Andy Hart.
Let's get one thing straight. I take orders from just one person. Me.
Some guy named Tom.
We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Who is she? She's beautiful.
PFW in progress.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. And it is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and it is quiet. Players are off. They're not here. But there's a lot of activity still going around. It's a busy place. Patriot Place is still being built. Scheduled to open most of the stores around late August, so the place is hopping. What?
Big guy's back, too.
Yeah, the fans aren't going to be happy.
I'm going to get to Gary.
Little Gary's got a cult following now, and Gary's back stealing the thunder.
Gary's back. The gang's all here except for Andy. Andy is taking his summer Tuesday.
How many days off he get this year?
Well,
he's taking every Tuesday off. He's got a couple of weeks off.
He's working on his 09 schedule now. It's like we've given him an advance.
He decided to throw it all in this week, too. He just took the whole week off.
Right.
My guess is
nobody's working.
My guess is he's on a suspension for the Irish joke. You said I'm packing for a couple weeks.
That's a good one. Let's run with it. Let's
go
with that story. Anyway,
we're going to handle it internally, Fred.
Right. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. If you want to call in or email, webradio@patriots.com. Gary's back from his honeymoon. He was in St. Kitts. Apparently some paparazzi snapped some pictures. There's nude pictures of Gary up on YouTube if you want to see them.
I don't.
No, thanks.
Jackpot.
Did you go to the nudist beach out there?
I didn't know there was one.
You didn't know there was one?
Oh, thank God. I thought he was going to say yes.
Yeah. Oh, all those islands have nudist beach. You just need to know where they are.
Don't tell me you've been, Fred.
What?
Don't tell me you've...
Well, I used to live...
Oh, God.
When I used to live in the Caribbean...
Yeah, you told us.
On one end of the beach that we used to go to was the local beach, and girls would just...
Now, that's okay. If the nude beaches just had girls nude, I'd be fine with it. But for some reason, fat old men like to walk around naked all the time.
Don't tell me... I didn't have that, but I'll tell you one thing.
Should I not have done that?
Nice package.
There were two gay guys, and I'm a friend of the gays, but
right.
These guys
you follow the WNBA.
But these guys decided that they were going to go out swimming a little bit, and they found this rowboat, and they're behind the rowboat. Well, the wind changed, and the rowboat kind of moved, and there was one guy on top of the other. It was ridiculous. The whole beach was just like laughing at him and pointing. It was like two animals going at it.
You never know.
But you're a friend of the gays.
Oh yeah. So anyway, we're here.
You never
talk about Patriots. Some Patriots news this morning, not the kind that we want to happen, but Willie Andrews apparently in some hot water again.
There goes 19-0.
Flashing around his gun, apparently pointed at
I think
his
we can get rid of him now, huh?
I think he's done.
I don't think he's not Tom Brady. I don't think they need to put up with that kind of stuff for Willie Andrews.
Yeah, no. So it's a little bit more than just pushing the traveling secretary down to the floor.
Yeah, and a little bit more than the marijuana thing. I don't want to dismiss the importance of the first one, but this one certainly seems a little bit more serious.
Yeah, I mean, and this is kind of a pattern now. This guy hasn't learned.
Yeah.
This guy's volatile, and he's not that good. So
right.
I mean, I know you're joking, but that's part of it.
That part is part of it.
That's part of it.
You try to work with a guy that actually can give you some benefit. This guy, so far, really don't know what.
Yeah,
benefit.
That whole we treat everybody the same. That's no team treats everybody the same.
It never has.
None.
In any sport.
A lot of people were up in arms, and we kind of were talking about it earlier with the Manny thing in Boston. That's taken on a life of its own now. Manny was involved in an altercation with the traveling secretary for the team. 66-year-old man.
Yep.
He they got into an argument, and Manny ended up, I guess, pushing him and knocking him to the ground, which is completely reprehensible behavior for any, you know, athlete, any person. I mean, any human being. You know, you knock down a 66-year-old man. But like Tom said, it's not a newsflash,
you know,
that there are different rules for the caliber of player that you are. And I can't believe the indignation, the righteous indignation on the part of the media. Oh, you know, well, certainly Sean Chacon just did this and he got released. Well, really? Yeah, because he lost 9 starts in a row. That's why he stunk.
And
he
choked somebody.
The whole reason why he got into the altercation in the first place is he was being demoted.
Right.
That's why he attacked his general manager. And, yes, there are different rules for the different caliber of players. That's life.
Yep.
Just like the best salesman in a car dealership could probably get away with more than the worst salesman could.
You don't think Red Auerbach treated Bill Russell differently than, you know, some of these other guys on the team? Of course
it's
all, he did.
When,
it's always been that way.
When I remember when Michael Irvin missed the team plane to Detroit, Jimmy Johnson pinched him for 2 plays. So he didn't start. So he came in on the 3rd play, and after the thing they said, if that was somebody else, would he have been suspended longer? And he said, yeah, but we need Michael Irvin to win.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
At some point, you're hurting your teammates by
right.
doing that. So you maybe figure out some other way to
So Willie Andrews, I think we can all agree, is probably not going to make it to camp.
Probably.
But, Fred, can I ask you a question?
And
we hear of this, you know, the post-Super Bowl, whatever, what do you call it? Like a
hangover.
So now you have the Nick Cazier thing, you have the Willie Andrews thing. Now, these guys aren't huge stars, but if things start to snowball a little bit, do you look back and say this was kind of the beginning of some bad things?
You might, and, you know, obviously time will tell, but, you know, it just seems like in the NFL this year, this stuff is rampant. It's not just the Super Bowl loser. It's all these teams are having trouble with people.
And you know what's interesting?
The offseason, it's crazy.
You know what's interesting about it too, Fred, is, and I'd be interested to get your thoughts, with all of the stuff that Goodell did, you know, the personal conduct policy that he put in there for all the teams and the code of conduct and all the attention, it doesn't seem to be working.
Not at all.
And I'm not blaming Goodell at all. He's trying. He's trying to clean things up.
Right.
He's trying to impose some stiffer penalties and whatnot, but it's just not working. And we have that Mike Florio with the turd watch. I couldn't think of what he called it.
Right.
It you know, it goes like 2 days, you know, before he has to reset
it
again.
It's only got to double digits a couple times.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
It nothing seems to be working. And I know there's more players in the NFL than the other sports leagues because, you know, 53-man rosters, but it seems percentage-wise even the NFL is dealing with these more often than the other sports are.
Well, let me ask you guys a question, see what you think.
Look at how young Terrell Buckley looks in that, by the way.
That's what he was showing Brett Favre's first football game as a Packer. Quarterback.
I think that's T-Buck's rookie year too.
When I read that book about Oklahoma from Charles Johnson, the quarterback, and he was explaining how they could get away with anything there, and it made them feel, you know, like they could do. I feel in today's college football with a parity, there's so many. Like before, there used to be like maybe 10 schools like
right.
that. Now, like everywhere, like you, anyone can be good. South Florida, Kansas. Do you feel that more college, like young kids, are getting that feeling in college that, you know, we can do whatever we want, and then it comes to the NFL, and they kind of got that same, you know, because they're just young. A lot of them are 20, 21, 22.
I think. Well, you know what? I think it might have helped college football. I think. Back in the day when Nebraska and Oklahoma and Texas were powerhouses, they were kind of on a pedestal, Notre Dame, and they could get away with anything. I think now the scrutiny has got down to the, you know, these teams now where, you know, now Oklahoma isn't the only football factory in town.
No, I think it helps. I'm saying when they get to the pros, like maybe some guy who played at Kansas wasn't a big deal. You know what I mean? And maybe he had a better head on it. But now I think football is so big at a lot of different schools than just a couple where, you know, everyone has, like Missouri has a chance to win the national title this year. It's, you know, that usually didn't happen back in the old days. And they have stars now, you know, and when they come to the NFL, they're superstars.
Yeah.
That's what there seems to be like more superstars from different schools coming out than it used to be.
I just don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, now the media we're just so covered, blanketed.
That's part of it.
Yeah,
you know, there's no question that the saturation of those kinds of websites and whatnot.
The dirty.com,
everything
TMZ,
you do is out there.
Everybody's got a camera on their cell phone. You can't walk outside without somebody snapping your picture if you're, you know, even semi-famous. And so a lot of this stuff that probably happened 10, 20 years ago we didn't hear about. Now it's all over the place.
Right.
You know?
Doesn't it seem a little more surprising, though, that it's happening in this day and age where there really is no off season to speak of? Players are always working out or they're still in meetings or lifting, you know, even in, except for this time of year right before camp. But in the old days, there wasn't so much of that. And maybe there was more time for them to sort of, you know, get in trouble.
Yeah, they probably
if you will.
Did, but nobody reported it.
That's the thing.
The reporters were going on the buses and the team planes with the team like us back in the old days, like the baseball reporters.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Tom. And I think that's part of what we're talking about. Now you can't really get away. I mean, forget about way back when, you know, in the 50s and 60s. Not only those guys were doing their best to bury it. They were trying to help the teams. Then it kind of got to the point, you know, more recently. When there was a separation, when the reporters weren't traveling with the teams anymore, they still kind of had the team's best interest in mind. Now, that's a huge story, you know, for reporters and whatnot. The last 15, 20 years or so, you've seen a clear separation. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that, you know, it's kind of socially, there's such a big difference, and it's getting wider and wider between the players and the people that cover the teams.
Sure.
You know, back in the 50s, there wasn't that much of a difference. Now, you're talking about, you know, look at the stuff that Goodell talked about with the rookie salary wage and all that stuff. These guys come into the league, they're already multimillionaires, and you know, they relate even less and less with guys like us who are just, you know, kind of working, trying to do our job and making, you know, regular average salaries.
And that's the thing I don't think you're ever going to be able to replace. I remember Marshall Faulk talking about it once. He came from one of the poorest sections in the United States, and he said, when they hand you that first check, you know, the 20, 30 million, you literally don't, I mean, you have so much, you went from nothing to having all this money. And most of these people, let's be honest, are African Americans who grew up in, you know, in some bad neighborhoods and came up through. And it's hard when you come from nothing. You know, I know because I don't have much. I still don't have any money, but I'm sure if someone gave me some, I'd be going nuts too. And I'm not using that as an excuse, but he just said, you know, it took him a couple years to realize how to handle stuff, and he never really got in much trouble. But then you see some of these other guys.
Well, I mean, they try to like put these guys through seminars, but the thing is, they do it like, you know, now.
Right.
And it's kind of like
after the fact.
Yeah.
Like Pac-Man Jones obviously loves having money. He goes to strip clubs. He throws money. He loves being rich. You know what I mean? So, and he loves to show it off.
And it's power.
Power.
Yep. And it's influence. And you know, different guys handle it different ways. And like Paul said, there's enough of these guys where even if it's only 10%, that's a large number. You know, if it's just 10% of the guys doing the bad things, that's still a large number.
But I think Paul's right about the money. I mean, before, like Grogan said, they used to have summer jobs.
And that's not that long ago. I'm glad that you used Grogan as an example because, you know, just there was an explosion, you know, in the salaries. And I think that you can't relate anymore. There's such a difference. And you can see it. Can't you feel it when you talk to the rookies for the first time? That you know, and I'm not. They're not bad people. That doesn't make them bad people. But there's
they
that
just have a
that
ton of money.
They're different than you.
It's
you can sense it.
You can sense it really even when we're at the combine, because you see these guys before they get drafted, before they get that first check, and you see them change once they come to the league and become.
Jamarcus, you weren't there that year, but Jamarcus Russell was the prime example of that. He was up there. He was Hollywood. You know, he hadn't gotten drafted. He knew he was going to be the first pick, and he was eating it up. And you could tell right there that he was, I know what you mean. It's definitely a different feeling.
TG and NJ says, back in the old days, the players went to work. They had day jobs. They needed to work during the offseason to make money. Today, these guys have got nothing to do in the offseason. More than ever, as the saying goes, idle hands are the devil's plaything.
Yeah, and it only takes a couple hours to lift weights and run sprints. So it's not like at 9 o'clock at night they're in the gym hammering iron or doing stuff like that. So these guys got more money. There's more technology. There's more things to do. And like these guys said, there's just more media. You can take a picture with your cell phone
and the
send
media,
it to like, strippers.
Like you said, I think you made the point, Paul, the media back then was more – you know, decades ago was more looking out for the team's interest. Now the reporters are looking out for their own interest break stories
and plus,
a lot of competition.
You
got the big organizations like the Boston Globe and the major now they're chasing stories that the Dirty.com or TMZ,
right.
You know, are breaking, And then once they find out there's a shred of evidence that it might be true, now they have to chase this story. You know, so, you know, little guys are now breaking the stories that the big guys now have to chase. That never happened before. You know, there wasn't a resource to get this info out. Now, you know, this internet thing, it might stick around.
It's not
I don't
bad.
Know. Yeah. Might have some
but it's
life.
Like that story. Do you remember way back, Fred, when Will McDonough used to do the show with us on Patriots Monday back at the old Patriots Club in
right.
the old stadium?
Sure.
And he tells that story about he was golfing one time with Belichick.
Yeah.
Talking about making chicken salad out of chicken.
Bill was up on the tee box getting ready to tee off, and he just backed off his ball and started muttering to himself and swearing.
This is back when Bill was the head coach at Cleveland.
Right. Yeah. And he said Will was like, you know, geez, what's the matter, Bill? And he's like, you know, just these players, you know, it was a lot more colorful language, but, you know, these players, you just never know what they're doing. You don't know what they're doing right now and the trouble they're getting into.
Right.
And
the point is
and
that
you just can't keep track of everything. You can't control everything.
Right. This is in the middle of June off season, and Bill Belichick can't tee off because he's worrying about what the guys are doing on their free time. It's like, no matter what you tell them, you know they're out there getting into trouble. And McDonough's like, Bill, you got to calm down. You're going to have a heart attack, you know.
He's just standing over the ball.
he's ready to tee off, and he goes on
like a tirade.
But like you were saying, Fred, back in the day, I mean, what was McDonough on, CBS? Or
yeah,
he was on
NBC.
Like,
NBC
right, he yeah. was like the – like I remember watching that, waiting for him to come on. Now there's 100 Will McDonoughs.
Right.
You know, like
right.
he was one of the few guys that would get information.
He was an
and
original.
Even when
absolutely.
I was a little kid, I remember waiting for Will McDonough to come on to tell me what's going on in the NFL.
Right.
But like you said, now you go to Pro Football Talk. You can go anywhere right. to get this
oh,
stuff.
By the way, speaking of Pro Football Talk, they're trying to get the Patriots into trouble.
and you.
Well, yeah. And I'll take responsibility
did they mention
for it.
You?
No, we sent the season tickets out, and every year we come up with some type of theme. This year the theme was the hall opening up, Hall of Patriot Place. And so we did great moments, not greatest, great moments in Patriots history. And one of the moments was the 56-3 win over the Jets, the largest win spread in Patriots history. And apparently, you know, oh, here's the Patriots trying to rub it into the Jets' nose again. And those evil Patriots, those, you know, those cheaters. And, well, how can they do that? You know, so now, you know,
so let me ask you this,
we've been taken to task for that.
But a real newspaper wouldn't report that. But Florio can take it and throw his
– right.
Now, so where do you see that going in the next 5 to 10 years as far as – you know what I mean? Is it how far is it going to go?
I think that, you know, it's a good question.
Do you think sites like that are going to get more popular?
Well, you know, there was a seminar a couple years ago, and ESPN – somebody from ESPN that runs ESPN said, you know, all these sites are going to come up, but I see that once, you know, people get over, like, this kind of, you know, new thing – they'll eventually gravitate back to the bigger sites to get their news, like ESPN, and these sites will kind of fade out. You know,
so it's cyclical, you think?
Yeah,
it's
but
more
I don't
of a fad.
Know.
Said that about reality TV.
I don't know.
American
but,
Idol,
you know,
250 million viewers.
Somebody made a point. Maybe it was you, Paul.
Probably not.
The guy that Will Leach. Or
oh yeah, that was me.
Yeah, he's who started Deadspin.com. You know, which was all anti-big.
They're all anti-establishment
yeah.
until the establishment
right.
offers him a job.
Now they offer him a job, and now we.
Now he's working for the New York Times.
Right. So, you know, it's but the internet certainly does give people a forum, and, you know, as long as you keep breaking news that, like I said, the big organizations now have to chase, and you have a little bit of money to keep yourself afloat, you know, you'll probably last, you know.
So, work for Matt Drudge.
You know, it's we have to get. You know, a lot of these old timers have to reconcile themselves with the fact that things probably have changed for good. It's never going to go back to the way it used to be. And it's probably going to change, but never go back to the way it used to be. You know, the way people get their news is different now, and it never will be the same.
That so. Strippers will sell out. Someone should try to get to him. He'll sell out in a second.
Well, he's going out with Cali Girl. I don't know. Oh.
If those two ever
he responded
met.
To his own.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Somebody's buying lunch today. I think it's Scott in Atlanta again.
Yeah, Scott from
is
Atlanta.
Is that right? 12:30, says Gary.
Yeah. Dan dropped the ball. Mini Gary.
We'd like our return lunch buyers to step aside and make room for the new guys.
I wouldn't. No? Whoever wants to buy is fine with me.
I don't like it when somebody has to do it more than once. I think, you know, everyone should take a turn.
They're all clamoring for this PayPal thing, Fred.
They want PayPal on there?
Yeah, because they want to contribute as they go along. They don't want to necessarily...
I think that that would not be good. Yeah. But unless we just make it simply a pay-per-listen show, and then, you know, it's 50 cents every time you listen to the show. Something like that.
You mean like satellite radio?
What wouldn't be good? It means when somebody buys us $130 worth of food, that's okay. But somehow if they buy $40 worth out of PayPal,
well,
it's...
You know, when you put PayPal up there, you're kind of asking for it. Now it's more of a, you know, implicit type of
unlike
request.
Andy sitting here begging for it.
Well, that's one person. But when you put it up on the Patriots website...
Oh, you mean the
Patriots? No, I wasn't talking about
website.
There. I'm talking about the
Well, he could do whatever he wants.
Site.
That's his own thing. I'd suggest not doing it. You know, I go on record saying I feel uncomfortable with that.
But that's his own site, so that's whatever he wants
site,
to do with that,
but
he can't.
I go on record saying that I'd rather he not do that.
See, if I was out in Vegas and I hit a big one and I felt like buying you guys lunch, I'd rather just put it in that PayPal account and say, just take care of this because I don't feel like calling up and buying you lunch.
Well, you can give your information to Mini Gary. Or
yeah,
Big
Mini
Gary.
Gary. That's who I want having my information.
But speaking of Gary, we need to get the lowdown on how things went on your honeymoon. People want to know.
You show me the email that people want to know.
Well, the emails came in when you were gone. Those are all deleted now. But listen,
I read them actually.
There was a lot. You're a loser, but that's okay.
You know damn well
that's my job.
Being a loser.
You know,
you
damn
do it
reading
well.
The emails.
You know the emails are going to start coming in, Gary. So you might as well just do it now. Get it out of the way.
It was a very nice time, Fred.
You went to St. Kitts.
St. Kitts and Nevis.
Nevis.
What's Nevis?
It's a small island off of St. Kitts.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah, that.
So
very
what,
private.
What's on Nevis that's not on St. Kitts?
Not much.
Hey,
not a lot to do there.
Gary, Beth wanted to know if you or Kylie did any scuba diving or anything, because those, I guess, are pretty big diving areas.
We were thinking about snorkeling, but we didn't go.
You didn't
go snorkeling? Why?
Because I went golfing.
Did she go with you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She golfs? That's nice.
Now, Gary, unfortunately,
you got the stamp of approval from Fred there.
Unfortunately, I couldn't make it to your wedding, but word is you had these guys sitting in the kitchen.
Yeah.
As God is my witness, and I told them.
No, we were about as far away from civilization
Andy's
as
been
you
complaining
could get
about
room.
It since he got
as
back.
As God is my witness, the original setup of the room had them right by the bar. In fact, that's why I put them there, but it got moved.
Us or the bar?
The bar.
Thank the help.
Well, what happened is
well, it was
only,
had us
only
by
worse.
The bar, and then Kylie saw the seating arrangement. Oh, no, they're going in the corner.
Well, part of it was an open bar, and I wanted Paul as far away as possible.
Yeah, but what are you worried about? You knew Beth was with me. How much, you know, the last time I was with Beth at an open bar, Beth had to drive home the next day.
Bad example.
The next day.
All right, well, so that was good. Gary's wedding was nice, and he's back from his honeymoon. So is that it, Gary, with your vacations? Have you used
I'm pretty much out till 10.
Oh,
10.
Okay.
10.
Oh, is it just 10? Is that how you go?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, 9, then 10.
Like
yeah.
Well, somebody mentioned had a good
is
question.
It 2010
well, you,
or
you know
2010?
How, like, you say, oh, this is like...
anyone?
Like the
crickets.
2010. We'll go with
the
that.
The 30s or the 40s, like 1940, 1930s. Right. Mm-hmm. What do you call what we're
this
in
decade?
Right now?
The aughts.
Do you call them the aughts?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. You mean aught six?
Yeah.
The 20-06.
I like when the old timers say back in aught eight.
Yeah. Well, you don't have too many of those around anymore, but my grandfather used to call it the
aughts.
That'll
be us in about 50 years.
Shawshank, the old guy.
Shawshank!
Right. I've been here since about aught eight. And
yeah.
It's a very complex proposal.
Right.
I really didn't understand.
We owe him an apology.
I think Ralph Wilson invented the aughts.
We owe him an apology, sir. This whole panel owes him an apology. He was right.
As far as
we're terribly excited.
For that, yes.
Yeah.
Obviously, the other 30 guys are now on, the other 29 guys are on board with him.
Well,
how many teams are there? 32?
I think they all realize
the 31 guys.
What that deal was just a temporary fix. It was a Band-Aid.
Yeah, that's not the way it was supposed to be.
You know, they all knew that they hadn't really figured out the whole revenue sharing between the teams. And until they do that, they can't figure out how much the players are going to get. So.
See, I didn't think I was a dropout, but maybe I am.
All right.
How about Gene Upshaw responding to Goodell's thing? You saw the Goodell was speaking at some golf tournament or something and just said that the rookie scale was ridiculous, he called it. Yeah. And Upshaw responded by saying, you know, that comment was ridiculous and we'll never relent to that. We'll never agree to that system, the one that Goodell proposed.
Well, we're going to have to do
It's
going to
be a problem.
Yeah.
You think Goodell shouldn't be doing that in the media, though, talking, you know.
Calling things ridiculous? Yeah.
In his league?
It certainly doesn't help.
No.
How does that help? Because you're going to have to sit down with this guy at some point.
I am a little worried about him.
I can understand thinking it's ridiculous and bringing it to their attention, but to say it just in, you know, in the media is stupid.
And this guy was in PR.
Yeah, yeah. It's more like he wants the public
It's refreshing.
To say, yeah. Well, that doesn't get it done, though.
It's refreshing, but at the same time, you wonder how wise it is, you know. And I've been a fan. I've been a backer. You know, from the start, I don't like the way he handled the Spygate thing, and I'm not just being a homer about that. I just don't think he handled it well.
I'm a PR guy myself.
He does. It's like you're a PR guy, and Fred, you're right. He's looking for guys like us to say, yeah, you go tell him, Raj.
Right.
You know, it's ridiculous. Well, that's great that you have me and Tom on you, you know, and Eric on your side, but
we
that doesn't
had
do
that,
you any good.
We had that argument on the show a month or so ago. Remember about the rookie pay scale and all that? So,
well, listen, something needs to be done. But again, you can't just go like Tom, I think you made the point. You just can't go, you know, talking about things in your league so publicly that you're making people, you know, you basically created a controversy.
You really haven't even started the negotiations yet.
What he said caused people to go to Upshaw and get a response, and now all of a sudden there's a story out there.
Right. Right.
You know, just they need to do some stuff.
My theory is, I believe that Jerry Jones and the Krafts are actually running the NFL, and this guy's a puppet master put in by those two owners.
Could be.
Fred just glossed right over that.
Josh
moving right along.
Josh says, Fred, get off your knees and stop blowing the dirty.com. They don't deliver on their promises. There are plenty of other sites you can go to look at young girls in little clothes.
Yeah, but those sites don't buy us lunch, so visit thedirty.com.
Right. Until TMZ starts buying us lunch, we're going to mention the dirty.
I don't think the TMZ needs to buy us lunch.
No. All right. Let's see.
Do you know what the TMZ stands for in that?
No, I don't.
No.
You?
No.
I think it's 30-mile zone.
30-mile zone. Okay.
I don't know if that was accurate.
What does that mean?
In reference to
I don't know if that was accurate. I thought I was the only one that didn't know. Evidently, no one ever heard of it. So
no.
Move along. Never mind.
Okay. And there's also this other one. It's a guy's name, Don Sanchez, or... Or is it the Dirty Sanchez?
I knew that was coming. I knew he couldn't help himself. He's his own straight man.
Yeah.
He could do a one-man show.
All right, web radio.
It's good to see that the temperature was corrected in this place, by the way, in this studio. It's about 800 degrees again.
Yeah, it's too hot.
Thanks.
Why is it so hot in here?
Same reason the internet's down.
Matt was here last Thursday with his elk. Big hit. Mm. It was an event. You know, it started with him actually grilling in the parking lot and not getting stopped by security. I don't know how that happened.
Because he didn't have a camera and he wasn't an 80-year-old woman.
Right. But he brought in the
with
elk.
Two grandchildren.
And
yeah.
the deer meat cooked, and we ate it, and we're still here.
Yeah.
And it tasted pretty good.
Yeah.
It was good.
So that was fun. But Matt writes in, he goes, thanks again. Just wanted to say thanks for being such a great host on Thursday. My dad and I had a great time. We really appreciate it. Here's a quick top five for you. Top five impressions from visiting the show in person. Number five is Paul may be fat and bald, but Fred is fat, bald, and short. Four, Andy's head is really huge, but he has retained most of his hairline more than anyone else except Mini Gary. But how old is he, 15? Three, Tom is as opinionated in person as he is over the internet, but he really is always right. Number two, what we've all come to enjoy is the show isn't really a show at all. The guys are exactly the same off the air as on the air. And number one, Eric's got good lats, but an even better ass. You see, Eric, that's playing along. Seriously, though, thanks for including me. I was happy to provide you guys lunch, and I'll be sure to do it again. Here's a football question in case you don't have anything NFL to discuss. What are you most looking forward to about the 08-09 season for the team? What do you feel is the biggest question mark for the season? That's Matt Cox. So what are you most looking forward to about the Patriots this year?
I mean, it's kind of cheesy, but just the general, you know, whether
no
or not
idea.
They can do, you know, how they respond. You know, Tom brought up early in the show about the Super Bowl hangover. Can they get past that and get back to where they were and be right back in contention the way we all think they will be is probably the thing I'm most looking forward to. Not so much like any individual, you know, records or anything like that. Just can they get back to winning games consistently and get back in position? I don't know. The thing I'm concerned the most about,
one thing I would be concerned about? I just answered this and asked PFW because someone asked about 19-0. I don't know what the odds are in Vegas. I'll relay those to you guys when I get there of going undefeated in back-to-back regular seasons, but they're astronomical. So when they're 3-0 or 4-0, I wonder if, and I'm sure it's going to, the talk again, you know, undefeated.
It's already happening now.
Right. They went undefeated in the regular season last year, and they have no Super Bowl title to show for it. Mm-hmm. So my thing would be, if that happens, great. Just don't talk about it. Don't worry about the records, because to me, you turned into the Colts. Talk about the records.
I know, but the team's not going to talk about it. But you can't help everyone. Everyone's going to talk about
it. Fred, more than one of those players said at the end of the year how mentally draining it was.
And how much they talked about it. Not with us, but how much they talked about it. Really? Yes.
And relatives, I think it was Ty Warren, said he couldn't even like pick up the phone because it would be his cousin.
That's other people talking about it to them and having to deal with that.
But the players themselves talked about that being a mental drain on them going for history. It affected them.
Oh, I think it was.
I think Bruschi talked about how nervous they were in Baltimore. I mean, this is after the fact, not after the Baltimore game, after the season.
Right.
They, looking back, said how they felt the pressure and stuff. And I think maybe there's some, they're not going to go out and lose a game on purpose so they don't have to deal with this. That's not going to happen.
Right.
But it might not be the worst thing in the world if they were to happen to lose a game somewhere along the line and not have to deal with
that
pressure.
They probably will, because like you said, the odds are so astronomical of them doing it again. But In a weird way, what if they do start going for it again, and having that experience this past year makes it almost seem like just any other thing now? Like them going out and winning and going for records and going undefeated again, almost like they're used to it. You know, like guys talk about the first time they go to a Super Bowl, how nervous and hyped up they are. I remember when the Cowboys were winning all their Super Bowls, Emmitt and Aikman talked about how nervous they were in the tunnel, getting, you know, their introductions in that game in Pasadena. But then after that, it just got so relaxing because they realized, oh, it is just another football game, you know? You wonder, though, that it was so mentally draining last year. If they start that role again.
I think it will help the guys that have been here and did it.
Which is most of the team.
This time around, it'll help them because they have the experience. But
I just think fans and everybody need to focus on a Super Bowl title. Well, it's been a few years, okay? Let's be honest. Ever since I got here, they haven't won anything. But we got the records last year.
Well, you're going to leave and they're going to win again.
Right. They got all the records last year. They don't need to break their own records, okay? They don't need to go undefeated in the regular season. They did that last year. They need to win the Super Bowl this year. So that's what I think would be most important.
What I'm looking forward to most and what I hope happens most is, you know, when you look back at last year in the first half of the season, the way they demolished teams, I hope that seems like nothing compared to what they do to the teams this year. I want complete rape.
This
and
is what Tom is talking about.
I want, not only do I want them to like go to a city and beat them in their story, I want them to burn the town down up.
Fred.
I want just utter destruction. You want to call us cheaters? You want to? Okay, fine. We're going to burn your town. That's it. We're going to leave it, you know, just demolished.
That's Fred-ish. Fred S. Kirsch.
That's what I want. Embrace the hate in 08.
Okay.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by the
host of
this show
do not
necessarily
reflect. Okay, we're going to be bad. You don't know bad. You haven't seen bad until we do what we're going to do. It's going to be.
You know why they could never be that way, Fred? Because the old Raiders were like that, but they could go out and talk in the media. You have to have a sense of. The way Belichick runs this program, you can never be like that because in the media you're always, well, boy, that other team.
I know, but we're just going to let our play do it.
Okay.
And how about just winning the game? What if they win by a field goal? Who cares?
Not enough. Not enough. I want complete and utter humiliation. Oh, yes.
You are so deranged.
Oh, yeah.
But, Matt, it was nice having you. And tell your father I'd like a new TV for Christmas.
His dad looks exactly like Santa Claus.
Yeah, just like Santa Claus.
No, I want complete and utter humiliation. Now, let's take a break right now because it's 12:37. We'll be right back.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it. 1-0 Rams. The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Rams have the lead.
Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information, and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-game supporters pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-game supporters pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. 4-packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution supporter scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REBS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to RevolutionSoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution. And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
A rooster, also called a cock or a chancelier, chanticleer, the female being called a hen. The oldest term is cock from Old English. Cock.
So Andy's a chicken? Is that what you're telling me?
Hen equal female chicken. Rooster equal male chicken. So welcome to second grade, Fred.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Todd from Nova Scotia says, hey, Fred, since you were the only one that actually went to Gary's wedding, it's up to you to give us some more details. Did his bride come down the aisle on a big wheel? Did she develop enough to fill out her dress? Did the banquet manager card her before the bride's toast? Did Gary go shoeless through the ceremony, or did he have a fancy spittoon at the end of the aisle? Did Gary's mic cut out throughout his speech, and did he add witty drop-ins? And was Smirlis really invited, or does that cheap Greek walking area rug go from the golf course banquet room to golf course banquet room on a Saturday night looking for free meals? He was there. And Glenn Ordway, the Big Show, was there, too. A lot of A-list people there.
Eric, you were there, right?
I noticed they had a nicer seat than
me. Oh, they had a much better seat. No, yeah. I mean, listen, we had the worst seat. Right. I think we found out what Gary felt.
No, I know.
About us.
Well, at least you were invited.
I'm not going to argue.
You didn't get invited.
I can't really argue. I think that's probably right. where I would have placed us.
But I do have to say, though, we weren't the lowest in the lowest in the totem pole.
We weren't?
No, Doug Lane was. He got invited, but he had to work. that you know, Doug Lane is kind of our radio consultant.
Andy came in and fixed Gary's mic, by the way.
Right, came in, fixed Gary's mic. Then he was invited to the wedding, but he had to DJ it. So that's lower than us. At least we got to sit down.
So. We did. We had a seat, and we had extra room because Tom wasn't there.
Yep.
didn't stop Poor Eric from eating Tom's meal.
So, yeah, Tom's meal sitting next to me. All of a sudden, Gary goes, Fred, pass me that plate.
Andy. Fred, pass me that plate.
Andy eats Tom's meal.
Then he had three pieces of cake.
Let's see. Dana in Brighton wants to remind people to go to the Wikipedia page that he made or she made. Is Dana a girl or a boy?
I don't know either way.
Have we determined yet? No? Anyway, it's en.wikipedia.org/wiki/PFW.
Okay.
Can I just search PFW in Wikipedia?
I think you can do that, too.
I forgot all about that. I've never even seen it. This PFW in Progress website is taking over the country.
It really has.
Todd also says, I think Fred is trying to get himself fired.
Yes.
I picture him walking into the PFW in Progress studio with a freshly removed from the museum John Hanna's jersey on, eating a pile of sloppy ribs and wiping his face with the jersey. Then later that day, you see Fred driving his caddy in circles in the parking lot, dragging three Lombardi trophies behind him while he leans out the window with a megaphone saying, attention, Robert Kraft, all your accomplishments mean nothing.
I'm not sure that would do it, though, Fred. They love you, don't they?
They'd have to hire 15 to 20 people just to replace them.
That's
amazingly.
True. That is true.
Yeah, sure.
yeah, sure.
Let's see. Carlo wants to know how to listen to games on the internet. We'll deal with that in a couple months. let's see. Bill Berry writes in, since we're talking about the future, let me state some givens that may be stupid, but common ground is good. Let's say one previously lousy team on the schedule becomes good. And on previously good, and one previously good becomes bad, and the net is the schedule is as it looks. Let's say Castle wins the second string. What the?
I got lost in that. But yeah. I'm not a smart man, so I couldn't follow that.
Okay, we're going to skip that one. Let's see. Oh, we talked about Dan Pyers last week. John from Kennebunk, Maine says, thank you for emphasizing your newspaper friend who died early, though he had lost weight due to recent exercising. It's great to hear that the overweight slash unhealthy people start exercising, but even skinny, athletic people will die young if they eat too much animal fat. LDL cholesterol from animal fats will cause heart disease and cancer regardless of exercise. The cure to prevent heart disease is a diet with low or no animal products.
I'm not a doctor.
How do we know how Dan Pyers died?
We don't.
How do we know what he ate?
I don't know, but did you believe... I've heard that before. Animal fats are bad.
Should we not have had the elk and the deer then,
maybe not.
The other day?
Yeah.
That was pretty lean, though.
It was.
Yeah.
Actually, he said, too, Matt said that that's, of all the ones to have, that's like the healthiest, I guess.
Yeah.
I think he said that on the show the other day.
Well, I'm doomed because that's all I've been eating all my life is dead animals.
Yeah, I'm. Nothing I can do about it
Who
now.
Who cares?
Yeah. Let's see. Dan in Delaware's on the phone. Dan, how you doing?
Pretty good. I just had some spicy ribs from the Amish market.
Spicy ribs from the Amish market.
Yeah, down in Delaware, we have some Amish people.
Okay.
Wow. They cook pretty darn well, too. Hey, I wanted to talk about Willie Andrews.
Okay. That was really interesting. Not.
Hey, seriously, though, Willie, do you think he's done? And what does that do to the Patriots? Because I know he just mostly played in special teams. How much of an impact player was he, and how's that going to affect us if he's gone?
Well,
I think he was struggling to make the team this year, regardless of these two offseason incidents.
I don't.
Well, just because, like you said, he was mostly a special teamer. They got plenty of guys who can play special teams on this team. And the secondary would be the only area where you might say, well, you might have a chance there. But they beefed up the secondary, too, especially at
Yeah, I think he was a fairly productive special teams player, Dan, but not enough so to, you know, overcome, I think, the things that he's done wrong here off the field. And look, I won't completely close the door. My guess, my feeling is they'll probably cut him because it's not really worth the PR hit that you take and all that stuff. And you have to have some consequences. But if Bill decides that he is, you know, the best guy for the job and we don't have a guy on the roster that's as good as he is at doing the things that he does, Bill will keep him. He doesn't care about the PR hit. But my feeling is that won't be the case and that they'll probably cut ties with the guy.
Yeah, so it really just comes down to what's in Bill's head about the guy, and no one really knows that then.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you had the other incident, so you're helping him through that
yeah,
one.
If
and
it's close, if Eric is right and there are a couple of other guys around that can reasonably do the job that he does, why would you keep, you know, it was like, you know, with other guys in the past, Kenyatta Jones comes to mind.
Right.
If he was a standout tackle, the thing that he did there when the altercation that he got in with the, you know, throwing the hot water on his roommate or whatever it was, probably wouldn't have been enough to get him
right.
released.
Right.
But when you couple in the fact that they have a couple of other guys that could probably do the same job that he does, if not a little bit better, with the off-field trouble, I think it makes sense to let him go.
Didn't Jones also have the knife-throwing incident in the supermarket parking lot?
Possibly.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. I just read the story and him waving a gun around while he's talking to his girlfriend that he's having an argument with.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a serious offense. If what we've been reading is true, I mean, it's all alleged, I guess, so. But, I mean, that's a serious offense. You know, that's a firearm that he
it just goes a long way to showing what this guy's mindset's
yeah,
like.
So many people have guns.
I'd rather see the team go in a different direction, to be honest with you. My feelings on this stuff is pretty well known. I don't like having these kinds of guys on my team.
Well, he might not be out of jail anyway, so it really might not matter. Because they didn't grant him bail to begin with.
Well, that's right. This might be a violation of his probation that he got from the other incident.
Sure.
All right. Thanks for your opinion, guys.
Okay. That's Dan from Delaware.
The Amish.
The Amish spicy ribs.
Amish ribs.
Didn't that seem like an oxymoron?
Yeah, I don't really care for the Amish.
No?
I find them hypocritical.
Do you?
Yeah. You know, they're driving those horse and buggies around, and I just, you know, you get behind one of those, forget about it.
That's ought to be good.
And then, they're always selling stuff, and, you know, hey, you don't want any electricity? Then stop asking for money. You know what I mean? What do you need money for?
Okay.
It's just annoying.
By the way, Glenn Miller played.
Nobody likes the Amish.
I didn't know enough about the Amish, evidently. What are they selling?
There's some new reality
show on TV. They're always selling, like, rocking chairs and corn and anything they can get their mitts on.
Yeah,
I say they're watching TV somewhere.
There are a lot of Amish in upstate New York?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You do have a lot.
That's where I'm getting this from is that you go
you
down
had some
the street.
Run-ins with the Amish,
well,
did you?
You know, it should be illegal to ride a horse and buggy on the road in 2008.
It turns out the biggest bookmaker in upper state New York is an Amish guy. And
he wants to blow the whistle on the hypocrisy of it all.
Right.
Fred, you know me. You know how I live. I don't respect people who don't have electricity.
Okay. All right. You just like it. They have to be able to plug in.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, watch some TV, for Christ's sake.
It's like Will wants me to go camping, Fred.
Yeah.
And I told him as soon as we can get ESPN, then I'll go.
Right. Your idea of camping and roughing it is not having cable.
Right.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah. Devin in Manchester, New Hampshire says, first-time email, a long-time listener. I was listening to Mike and Mike in the morning today, only because you guys are only on Tuesday and Thursday afternoons. Otherwise, I'd be listening to you, and they were talking about the ESPY nominations in the NFL top-ranked players list. O.C. Umenyura was on, and he was saying that Peyton Manning should be number one on the list, and Tom Brady should be number two. Not that I'm being a homer or anything, but come on. Tom Brady has won more Super Bowls, now has the records, and is a better clutch player.
Is this from last year? The ESPY Awards for, like, from the 2007 season? Is that
know.
How it works? Because that's
no
ridiculous.
Idea. Do you think OC is that way because of everything that went down between the Giants and the Pats? He was also saying that the Celtics should not have been nominated for the best team in the ESPY Award nominations. Come on. Seems to me like OC is just a New England hater. Could be.
But isn't it just his opinion on who he thinks is better? I mean, I it's not like he put Brady at six. You're comparing him with maybe he just feels when going up against Manning, maybe he has like the utmost, like he just like this guy's unbelievable.
Exactly.
I don't think it's really a slight on Brady. He might just feel that Manning's the tougher guy to go against.
I think it's ridiculous if we're talking about 2007. Because I think Brady had a better. I mean, well, yeah. lights out. I don't really think it's worth
no
discussing.
Quarterback has ever had
in 2007. Brady's year was light years ahead of anybody else's. Now, if you're going on their careers, well, Manning had Brady's 2007 year in 2004. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's an argument to be made.
It's a hair splitting argument.
Exactly.
When you talk about
it's
those
very
two
close.
Guys.
That's why, you know, like Tom was saying, I don't think it was a slight. If you're going over their careers, I don't think it's a slight. But if you're going in 2007. I think that's a slight. I think Brady was far better than any other player in the NFL in 2007.
ESPN came out with, or the ESPYs came out with, the top 50 NFL players of all time, or no, playing in the league right now. And
yeah.
Who's number one?
Number one was Manning.
Then that's a hair. And Brady was two?
Yeah.
No, Brady was one.
Yeah, Eumann-Yora said
Brady,
Manning should be
Brady
one.
Brady was one in Pete Prisco's thing.
Eumann-Yora disagrees with that?
Yes.
Peyton Manning.
Well, he disagreed with. I don't know what. I didn't see Eumann-Yora, so I don't know what he thought. But the Pete Prisco was at CBS Sportsline, mm-hmm. I think, had his list. He does it every year. His list of the 50 best players in the NFL. Brady was one.
Is Manning two?
Manning was two.
Okay.
Yeah.
The bottom line is those are the two best players in football. They affect their teams more than any other player in football. So in Indianapolis, you're going to rank Manning one. Here you're going to rank Brady one.
Yeah. As long as those two guys fill those two spots, really doesn't matter which one goes where.
I think you're splitting hairs, picking one or the other. I take Brady, but I'm biased.
Wes Welker three?
Well, Welker was in the list. Welker was in the top 50. Yes, really? He was like in the 40s.
I hope LT wasn't three. I hope he wasn't.
I don't think so.
Alex writes in, I'm very concerned about Eric's anger. I mean, he is ready to go on a little rampage.
Anger.
I can read the headlines, Death on the Boot. A crime of passion occurred on Gillette Stadium when a gay community member shot his former love partner and then proceeded to commit suicide. The bodies were delivered to the Institute of Forensic Medicine, except for the one with an unusual large head, which was being investigated by the Army's Research Department. A party will be held in Christopher Ferreira's house. Hey, sad to see Tom go. Good luck to you and Allison. So in order to get the last fixes of Dallas Cowboy football, besides Emmett, who was your favorite cowboy? My guess is Dwayne Thomas or Hollywood Henderson.
I wasn't around. That's too far back for me.
So who's your favorite cowboy?
If you're not
time?
Talking about Dorsett, I love Dorsett. I loved Randy White. I loved Emmett and Aikman,
obviously. Why did he
change
his name from Dorsett to Dorsett?
I don't know. I missed that one. But one of my favorites,
you're right.
One of my favorites, and this is one of the things that I can't understand from Patriots fans, was Ken Norton. Because he was there in the lean years and was there when they won the Super Bowl. Then the next year he went to San Fran. And while I didn't like San Fran, I didn't wish him any ill. That's the one thing I don't get like here with the Patriot fans is like when a guy that they really liked and respected, like Asante Samuel, root against Asante Samuel when he plays the Patriots. I don't understand the whole he has to stink to hold us up.
No, because they feel like the player abandoned them and had some sort of fealty to this team or to your team or whatever. So
I know, but it's about money and it's about, you know, it's, I don't know. I just, I never wished, I always loved Ken Norton and he had some good games against the Cowboys that I wasn't happy about, but I didn't want him to die.
My favorite Cowboy of all time is Bob Hayes.
You ever see him play?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that guy.
That's before my time.
That guy could run.
I think the most underrated Cowboy is Randy White. I think he is one of the top two or three defensive tackles of all time. And you don't really – that he's before the ESPN age, so the best ever the best ever has to start from 1999 or and up or whatever because – but I think Randy White, to me, was just a dominator.
I really liked those teams, even though I don't like Dallas and I haven't liked Dallas for a long time. In the late 70s, yep. They always went against Pittsburgh, and I always rooted for them over Pittsburgh, and I liked those teams. They had great talent.
Yeah, and I get
– Charlie Waters and Cliff
sometimes
Harris.
Sometimes I get in trouble in those Cowboys message boards because I argue that those teams might have actually been better than the 90s teams.
Oh, I think they were.
You look at the Super Bowl team that won in 77 in just dominating fashion, and then – You barely lost to Pittsburgh twice, who I think if you took a poll, most of the country would say is the best team ever. Right? It's just the way it goes.
Alejandro from Bogota writes in, final thoughts on the elk meat. I think the show started strong, but then some side effects appeared, like someone forgetting to turn down the microphone and then asking who farted. Nice work of editing, Mr. Ferreira. What happened there?
I don't remember that.
You weren't here?
Who farted?
I don't remember. I don't know what he's referring to, though.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm worried about the show's listeners. There's a Russian interrogator, an Air Force member, a rocket designer. Is PFW turning into some kind of fight club? Is Tom opening a franchise in Nevada? Talking about movies. Fred, as a Raiders of the Lost Ark fan, I want your honest opinion on the last Indiana Jones film. Haven't seen it yet.
Still?
I haven't seen it yet.
I heard it sucked.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, why haven't you seen it yet?
I just haven't had time.
Have you tried it? Why haven't you gone?
My football questions are about linebackers. One, did any one of you watch Jack Ham play? I mean, you seldom hear his name, even though he is a Hall of Famer.
There's a very underrated player, too, even though he is a Hall of Famer. I agree with Alejandro.
Yeah.
You always hear Jack Lambert.
Right.
But Jack Ham was great. He was a great player. I'm not saying he was better or worse, but he was a great player.
My father, this is just his opinion. I always believe it's hard when you don't watch the era yourself, but he believes that Ham was the overall better player and that Lambert was more benefited from that great line in front of him. He thinks Ham was more versatile and did more things for that defense.
Kind of like the
it's just his opinion. I don't know if it's right or wrong.
Kind of like the Swan-Stallworth argument.
Yeah,
people said Stallworth was the better receiver, but Swan got all the attention.
Stallworth was definitely the better receiver there.
Two in the mid '80s Giants crew, Taylor was the pass rusher and Carson the run stopper. But what was the role of Carl Banks?
I would say he would be like the Vrabel, kind of a little bit of everything, where he went back in coverage. And
I mean, I don't know. Honestly.
I mean, I would say that Carson was definitely the run stopper.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure I would categorize any of the other guys. You know, Pepper, you know, Carl Banks, Gary Reasons.
Belichick, and he said Taylor was a great run stopper.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. They were all very versatile. And that's, you know, and I'm basically going off of Bill there, not necessarily my, you know, I didn't watch those teams all that closely. I didn't like the Giants.
But when you're saying, like, Taylor's the best ever, it's not just because he rushed the passer.
He did everything.
I
mean,
and I wrote in my Ask PFW, Fred, when I was saying my goodbyes, that one of my greatest experiences of my life is when Bill showed us the tape. Were you there that day when he showed us the film?
Yep.
And the way he showed us Taylor, knowing he was playing the Rams, he knew it was going to be a run by the way that the tackle was just lined up against him. And he showed us, as soon as the ball was snapped, Taylor didn't rush in. He went right to the center of the line. And, like, that... You would never know that on your own, just you know what I mean, and have Bill explaining that to us was just incredible.
Probably the most instinctual player, because he didn't follow the rules.
No.
Most instinctual player ever, you know? Parcells had the famous story where Taylor comes off the, you know, the field after just making a sack, and Parcells says, that's not what we call, you know, we don't even have that in our defensive playbook. And Taylor goes, well, you should probably put it in, you know, so... let's see. Reed from the Cape says, on PFWinProgress.com, there's a weekly vote on who we would like to see replace Tom. Christina Acra is leading the vote.
Ooh, there
is. I want to know if any of the people in the poll will be replacing Tom. Here's another question. Do you want to see any of them replace Tom?
I don't know who the people are.
Who are the people in the poll?
I think
does it say?
B-Lo is in it. Christina Acra.
Those people
Mike Parenti,
have jobs.
A couple other people, you know. So we don't know.
But B-Lo and Christina Acra have, like, jobs in the organization.
Yeah, they can't do it. See, people think that
this is our job.
This is not what we do. This is our lunchtime. Literally, this is our lunchtime. So the person that comes in for the job, and in case anyone's listening and wants to apply, you need to have experience covering at least a team at the college level. You know,
I didn't.
You know, no,
that's why the requirements have changed.
He's upped them after.
But you were writing about pro football. But that you have to have that experience. It's the writing is number one. You can be the greatest radio person in the world, but if you can't write, I got no use.
And
for
that's
it.
that's
the main thing.
And it's the hardest part of the job. Is to get that stuff done, like after a game, when you have to get it done, when we don't have the flight with the home games, you have to get your information, you have to, you know, record everything, you have to write it down, you have to get, that's the hardest part of the job, is time management in your writing. So, I mean, this is easy. They just, you know, Gary hits play and we just start talking. It's the writing that's the tough part.
Right. That's the main skill you need to have. If you don't have that, everything else doesn't matter. Let's see. Louis from Tampa says, hello, bitches. I was discussing with an acquaintance who the 10 best NFL coaches were. We stopped the discussion because we failed to find 10 coaches who were good. Is this possible?
Oh,
has the NFL ever been so thin at coaching? Could you make a list of your own? One condition, Tom can't name Wade Phillips.
I don't think he would have anyway.
Are we naming the 10 worst?
10 best coaches.
There's 10 good coaches.
You start
there's
with
Shanahan,
the one here.
There's Dungy.
Right.
Jeff Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna get mad at us now because
we're
saying
Jeff Fisher.
You know, Jeff Fisher,
other
people that
coach.
We think are good coaches.
Well, I think
for
I
my
think
money,
Andy,
Jeff.
Evidently,
Fisher.
No
Andy
one thinks
Reed's a good
Andy
coach.
Andy Reid,
you know?
John Fox, I still think is a good coach.
Yeah.
You know, Holmgren.
Holmgren. Holmgren's excellent. Tom Coughlin, I think, is a pretty good coach. Even though I think that he does a lot of things that I don't agree with, I think that he's a pretty good coach.
I mean, I think Peyton in New Orleans is good. I think they're going to come back this year after taking a step back last year.
See, the problem is that the definition of a head coach in the NFL has changed over the years. You're no longer just the guy who teaches football. You have to be the head administrator, too. You know, you have to look at all these details, and you can have people that help you out, but it's not just about teaching football to football players anymore, and a lot of guys just are better suited for that. You know, Belichick is a stickler for details, And then he surrounds himself with good people, and, you know, his system works. But there's other guys, like, you know, you take, for example, Monty Kiffin, for example. He probably has no desire to be a head coach.
Monty Kiffin.
The defensive guy?
Yeah, the father. Not
yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jim Johnson don't want to be head coach.
He's a lifelong coordinator. He has probably no desire.
He doesn't.
He's probably
been
offered the job many times, but he just doesn't want to be it because of all the other stuff you have to deal with.
He's actually said that exact thing that you just said. Okay. He said he has no desire to be a head coach because of all the things that
that
entails. He said, I love coaching defense, and that's what I want to do.
Right, and there's a lot of those guys in the NFL that are really good coaches.
But don't you think it's hard? Like, listen, Belichick's a good coach. No one's disputing that. But what if I gave Tom Brady to Jack Del Rio with that team? Doesn't that make Jack Del Rio a better? You know what I'm saying? It's easier to be a good coach when you have Brady and Manning, because Dungy couldn't win the big one until he went to Indianapolis and had one of the top two players in the league. Then he won the big one. And he was a great coach.
Right.
I think it's hard to compare everyone to Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm.
He hasn't really shown it much yet in Buffalo, but I think Dick Geron might be on his way to becoming a pretty decent coach if he can do something with the talent.
I think Mike
Sherman's
a pretty good coach, because I don't think that team in Green Bay is overly talented, and they won a lot of games.
Whatchamacallit? Sherman's at A&M. You mean the...
Mike McCarthy.
McCarthy.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
Sherman's at A&M ruining that program.
Yeah. No, that's it. Thank you for correcting that. It's Mike McCarthy.
But you look at a guy like, now, I think we all think Mike Shanahan is a great coach when it comes to X's and O's, you know.
Yeah.
But what happened when he lost Elway? Like, is he a worse coach now, or does he just not have one of the top three quarterbacks of all time to work with? You know what I mean? So it's tough when you have a guy of Brady's. Brady wins so many games for this team, and I still think Bill's a great coach, but it's a little bit easier when you have a guy like
that. The argument, too, can be made for Dungy that he didn't have that in Tampa and still got the job done, which proves that he is, you know.
I mean, he got within about 25 yards of going to a Super Bowl with Sean King as his quarterback.
Yeah.
Maybe the best coaching job I've ever seen in a game was that day. The Tampa Bay coaching job, the whole staff, was just an unbelievable coaching job. Like you said, Paul, they had a guy who couldn't play in the league for any other team.
2 years later.
Any other team couldn't even make the roster, and they were almost in the Super Bowl.
Ken in Florida says, Paul brought up Football Talk's Turd Watch, which is in its second year. I think it's notable that last year the only two teams that had zero problems with the law were the Patriots and the Giants. I'm not sure if it's Super Bowl hangover or what, but it does seem that the Pats have had far more run-ins with the law in this offseason than in any recent memory, say the last 5 years or so.
Yeah,
it could be.
I just think it's luck.
Yeah,
I think the guys I think that was commendable that those two teams went to the Super Bowl and didn't have any, but they've both had some, you know, since then. I think it's luck.
The only time I say it's not luck is if you're Cincinnati and you're drafting or if you're
when
Dallas
you're constantly
and you're acquiring T.O. and Pac-Man Jones, and then when things blow up, you're saying, how did this happen? But I agree with you for 99%.
It's not bad luck when you draft three guys that were constantly arrested in college and then they get arrested in the pros. That's not bad luck. I agree.
Brian from Colorado, we were talking last week about Tom hitching a trailer to his Kia.
I'm not doing it.
Driving.
You guys talked me out of it.
Well, this is Brian, who's from Colorado. He says, I don't know which of the Kia models you own, but you should seriously consider renting a moving truck and towing your vehicle
to Vegas.
You have no idea how hot it gets driving across Missouri, Kansas, and eastern Colorado in the summer. Then you have to climb a pretty steep grade out of Denver and two mountain passes in central Colorado and the Sam Raphael Swell
in Utah. I don't like the sounds of this.
Not only will the grade stress the motor on your Kia, but your brakes get a hell of a workout going downhill. If you weren't hauling a trailer, it obviously wouldn't be a problem, but hot brakes and steep grades don't work well.
We have made the change because after Andy had said something, I looked into it, and it was a bad idea, so we did get a truck. The only thing I would ask, who's this, Brian in Colorado?
Yeah.
Can you tell me how I'm going to get up a mountain with a budget truck and a car strapped behind it? Like, how does that work? Because I would think that I would have a hard time getting up these...
Building up the momentum to
and
get
up
the
mountain. And do I have to go through... Isn't there another way to get there?
Yeah, why don't you
have
just
a lot
go...
of stuff?
A ton of stuff.
I mean, is it enough to fill a truck?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, why don't you just hire a mover to...
Because those cost a lot of money, Fred.
Is it that much...
It's a $2,000 difference.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
So we got the truck and we're off.
So you looked into it.
Yeah, but the driving the Kia was that wasn't a good idea.
Might take longer, but if
you
go south,
put the key in the back of the moving truck. You don't even have to tow it.
Go south to like Atlanta, and then
I'm not really looking forward to these mountain passes, and you know when you see those things on movies, and you're like, man, can you imagine driving on that? I don't want to be on that, especially towing a car, and I'm not good driving big things.
Okay, Brian finally says, I'm not sure if this question was answered in one of my other emails, but do you all see Lakeven Smith as being closer in talent to Mike Wright or Jarvis Green?
In the middle.
I think he could emerge as a guy to get some playing time this year, but, Mike Wright. I don't want to put him in a... Jarvis Green's a pretty solid player,
yeah.
And he has been since he got drafted in 2002. I think Lakeven Smith has to go some to get to that level. Even not that Jarvis Green is
No, but Jarvis is a guy
an all pro, but he's a guy who's been a solid contributor for 5+ years now.
And if he has to jump in the starting lineup, you're pretty comfortable.
You don't really lose much,
right? We don't know that yet about Lakeven.
He's a guy. If he was available, teams would sign him to start. If Lakeven Smith was available, nobody would sign him to start.
At this point, yeah.
Anyone would know where San Benito is?
Yeah, it's in California.
Is it California?
Yeah.
Okay. That's where Mario's from.
Okay.
He's emailing in. He says, I'm happy with the Pats' progress this offseason. I really feel that their defense is going to be better this year than last. Anyway, I remember the fact that O'Connell is the Patriots' highest draft quarterback since Drew Bledsoe back in 93. We all know that during the time in between, the Pats drafted Brady in 2000 in the sixth round. I wanted to ask you guys who you thought was the better pro prospect coming out of college, Brady or O'Connell. Who would the Pats have drafted if both came out in the 2000 draft?
I think they still would have gone with O'Connell.
I don't know who the Pats would draft if they had to choose between those two guys, but I think Brady was a better prospect coming out of college. I think that what hurt Brady, we've talked about a lot, was the fact that Drew Henson took some of his time and scared a lot of teams away, including the Patriots. Bill has talked about that very openly. We didn't know why he wasn't playing all the time. He played most of the time. He was the starter, as we've pointed out many times. That's been a little bit of a myth that has been created that he wasn't a full-time starter. He was the full-time starter, but he didn't play full games all the time. Henson did periodically come into games. I think if that didn't happen and we got 2 full years of Brady playing start to finish every game, he probably would have been a higher draft pick than O'Connell.
But it did happen, and he didn't get drafted till the sixth round. So, of where O'Connell was drafted, don't you have to conclude that as a pro's prospect, he is higher rated?
No, because
I don't think
you have to
do that.
Like Paul said, they didn't understand why, and then they found their answer. Lloyd Carr's an idiot.
I know, but whatever the reason was.
But what if Bill Belichick said, I like this guy as much as my third-round picks, but I don't have to take him in the third round.
Well,
he's going to be available in the sixth.
That might be. But
now, I'm not saying that he did that. I'm just supposing.
Right.
I think O'Connell has more upside. He's more physically gifted. Mm-hmm. Brady was a skinny kid. He didn't have a big arm.
Looked a little awkward in the pocket sometimes.
But I think when you draft O'Connell, you're doing it as a luxury of having Tom Brady and knowing we might be able to get something out of this guy because he has upside. Brady, I think people thought was he kind of is what he is. He's never going to really progress much from here.
If you're asking me, Fred, who the better athlete is, I don't think there's any question. Kevin O'Connell was a far better athlete coming out of college, and he is probably right now than Tom Brady. No question. But I think that Brady was one of those guys in college that got it done. And I think, and I've said this many times, look, I couldn't have been more wrong about the whole Brady thing, okay? I mean, I think that's pretty established. But I think his skills were drastically undersold to us when he got here. I thought he threw the ball with a much better arm than he was given credit for in all those pre-draft books. All we heard was that he didn't have a strong arm. Yeah. I've seen very little evidence that he doesn't have a strong arm, and this was way back when. I'm not talking about now. We talked about this back when we were back in Walpole.
Right.
When he made the team as a fourth quarterback. I thought his skills were drastically undersold to us. Now, in terms of athleticism, Eric is right. Kevin O'Connell has got it all over Tom Brady
as an
athlete.
Evidence to that fact, it only took one season for him to vault, in Belichick's mind, to number two.
And he got up, by the way, in that season, if you recall. He passed Bishop that year on the depth chart. Then Freeze got hurt. He was the backup for a couple of games.
Right.
So that you know, progression happened quickly.
They saw in him immediately what he could do.
Yeah, and it's like Paul said, sometimes ESPN Classic will show a game that Brady played in college, and all you hear is Musburger gushing over the guy, you know. This, he does it again, Tom Brady. You know what I mean?
Remember like, the game that Musburger was openly criticizing why they would ever play Henson.
Right.
You know? That was a big deal. Mm. That was a big deal at the time.
I mean, his last college game was that Orange Bowl against Alabama, where he, you know, was unbelievable. And that's where I made my famous statement. I'll tell you what, this guy could be a backup in the NFL.
Gary, where's lunch? I am starving.
We've called and checked on it.
This is what I've been doing most of the morning. I've been proofreading the sweet menus. That the sweet people mm-hmm. get
well,
to
lucky for you. You've been salivating. There's nothing there that makes
literally,
you want to eat.
That's all I do is I've been reading that. I'm so hungry right now. What's going on?
We've called D'Angelo's. They said it's on the way.
At D'Angelo's. They get in the weeds over there, and they just can't get out.
It was supposed to be here 45 minutes ago.
Here's where we get in trouble. Caleb is a
When you say things like that? Yeah.
No, Caleb is a first-time emailer, and he's only 14.
Oh, yeah.
He's been listening for 2 years, and it's his first time writing in. I live in Panther Country, which is North Carolina, and I'm continually getting harassed by Panther fans about the Patriots Super Bowl loss. I just wanted to say, Tom, I'm going to miss you. You added a lot of Patriots insight to the show. Andy, your jokes are hilarious.
From a 14-year-old.
Right.
That is the target audience.
That's his demo right there. That's his sweet spot.
And he has been listening for 2 years.
A 14-year-old who thinks I have good insight and Andy's funny.
Uh-huh. Right. Eric, I think you should be more open about your love life. It would make the show more interesting.
Again, from a 14-year-old.
Well,
it's going through
speaking
puberty.
Of that, do you have anything to tell us? Any updates?
No, I have nothing
Fred
to tell you,
in
Fred.
The meeting.
If I had, yeah, Fred.
You want to eat my salad?
So everything's status quo.
Everything's status quo.
Can I just? Can I be honest with you? Can I be completely honest with you? Now that I'm leaving, I'm trying to help you out here.
Go ahead.
I feel that the fans are really starting to come around to you, and I think you're about to break through. If you would just give a little more personal information, I think you'd be all set.
I think his instincts are right.
I'll think about it.
I'm telling you, people are starting to like you. If you just give out a little bit more about yourself, because that's the key. We all do that. You know, we all talk about our home lives and stuff. Just a little bit. I think you'll really, really blossom.
All right.
I'll
consider
it. People need to know you.
You want
to
eat my salad?
Yeah. Let's see.
That's all I have from you, Eric. That's it.
I realize that.
Caleb
you
had
work
a
on
like
it.
Few over-unders. Tom Brady, 35 TD passes for the year. Over-under. 35 TDs for Brady.
I said between 30 and 35, so I'll say under.
Yeah,
under.
I have 35, so I'll say under.
Okay. Well, under. I'll say over. Randy Moss, 16 TD catches this year.
How many?
16 TD catches for Randy Moss.
I can't speak that language,
under.
Buddy. But
I say under.
Under. It's under. Hard to get that many TD.
So I think the running game is going to have more touchdowns this year.
All right, under.
Wes Welker, 85 receptions this year.
Over.
I'll go over on
over?
That.
Yeah. Really? Okay. Yeah. All right. Everyone's come around.
I'll be good.
O-line allows 16 sacks.
Over.
I have no idea. How many did they 21. Allow?
21. They had 21.
Over.
Last year.
Well, if they're going to pass less, then they may not.
Why are they going to pass less?
Because they're going to run more.
He did just make that statement, though.
But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to pass less.
Well, I think they'll have more success with the running.
I don't think they may have more success with –
But they did run the ball a lot
last year. I'm trying my best not to get sucked into a Fred argument here, everybody.
Yeah.
I think that they – you know, 21 was a franchise low. I think that the problem with these numbers is something that Tom addressed very early in the show about the undefeated thing. We're now thinking that all of these things are commonplace.
Right. Yeah. That was.
I think we're drastically underselling, to use the same word that I use with Brady, how hard it was and how impressive the feats were last year.
Right.
You know, 35 touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know how many guys have thrown 35 or more touchdowns in the season?
Right.
Not many. Not less many. Than 10.
And how
Not
many times does a
ever.
Receiver get over 16?
16 right. touchdowns.
I mean, maybe
again,
it happens.
Probably less than 10, right?
I would think so.
You know, I just think to automatically assume that that's going to happen every year.
I know. I know what you're saying,
you know, now, 85 catches for Wes Welker, that happens every year. Someone, you know, there'll be 5, 6, 10, 8, 10 guys every year that catch that many. That's not necessarily out of the ordinary. Now, 112 was an extraordinary total last year.
And if the offensive line plays like it did in the Super Bowl, you have that total in week 2.
I mean, 21 sacks was the franchise low ever. What, 48 years, 47 years, whatever it has been. that's, you know, now you're saying we're going to go five lower than what has ever happened before.
No way. No way. Patriots finished the season with 13 wins.
That's exactly where I have them.
Yeah, push. I think that's a push.
Christian says, I don't care if we go 11-5 during the season. I just want another ring. That's in reference to the earlier discussion we had. And Josh,
evidently, Fred will not be happy with that.
No, no, of course not.
Speaking of that, Josh says, I'm with Fred. I want complete domination.
I just want a ring.
Take the win.
You got that
I just want
year.
A ring.
And you had complete domination, and then you didn't win the Super Bowl.
And you lost.
P.S., it's another great Tuesday without Andy.
I want a ring.
I'll second that.
Can you get us rings, Fred?
Dana,
when we win it all this year, can you make sure we get rings? Can you do that?
Sure. Dana says he's a guy. Yeah. We questioned that. We didn't know.
Dana is, Dana is a guy. Well, Eric accurately pointed out, Fred, that name could go either way.
It could be
male, could be female.
Could.
So we had Eric to clear that up for us, which was nice.
Let's see. TG says, yo, Paulie, you asked me last week.
Prince of pomposity.
You asked me last week about fantasy football and why it seems you and I are the only people not partaking in it. I think you mentioned you don't like the idea of finding yourself rooting for individuals instead of the team. That's me, too, though.
I don't like it. Like, when I'm watching a game that, you know, you're sitting there, you're hoping that your guy gets in, you know, and rather than just hoping that they score. And
I remember sitting in New Orleans. It was a regular season game, Patriots playing the Saints, and Brian Morey had the Saints kicker.
Cam Cleland,
on his
had.
On his family, on his fantasy team, and he's, like, hoping that he does well. I'm like, what are you doing?
See, I just think that's stupid.
Yeah,
I don't play it that way.
I think touchdowns, it's too touchdown dominated, if that makes any sense. I mean, I understand touchdowns are the object of the game, but your guy can have a great game but not score a touchdown, and then you lose.
Yeah, it depends how your league scoring system is set up.
But touchdowns are heavy in any
scoring system. Touchdowns
are heavy,
but, you know, some rely more on yardage than others.
Thanks, guy.
TG says, maybe the real reason I stay away from fantasy is I think I'll get sucked in and then I'll never get any work done. I already lose 2 hours of the work day listening to you knuckleheads. I run a couple of football pools. If I throw in fantasy, when will I get my work done? My better half already gets on my case when she sees me rooting for a team I don't like to cover the spread. I can just imagine her reaction when I start rooting for individual players.
Fred, I should point out that James,
nice Star Wars intro.
James extended the invitation to you and I.
Yeah.
And I took him up on it. You know, I said,
oh, you're in it?
Yeah, I'm going to get in it. And I know Tom and Andy had already decided to get in. So I'm going to do it as well. So you guys, you know, can all get on there. You're doing it, Mini Gary?
Mini Gary's psyched.
Mini Gary's in.
All right. Well,
so you guys can beat the crap out of me
Eric?
In fantasy because I have no chance of winning that.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to read Scott from Atlanta's email.
We'll be
back
after this short timeout.
I need to go pooping.
Hey, Freddie, while we're young.
Hey, hurry up in there. Jesus. You in there?
Patriots.com radio.
Taylor on the turn. Takes a touch. And buries it. 1-0 Rams. The sellout. The Reds have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas Tree Shops, Off-Broadway Shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar. a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins. The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-game supporters pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-game supporters pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. 4-packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution supporter scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Clarkhorst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
New message, Wednesday, May 28th, 11:54 a.m.
Hey, Gare. It's Rob, man. How you doing? So, listen, I was I saw that video online of you know, the virtual tour of the hall. How come I'm not voicing that? Like, what's the deal? You know, it's like, you know, I'm good enough to voice, you know, the Patriots Football Weekly, but not that. And who's doing it, man? It sounds like the biggest computer geek. Come on, man. Give me a call. Thanks. Bye.
The Hall at Patriot Place will offer New England Patriots fans one of the most dynamic sports museums in the country, as well as the home to the Patriots Hall of Fame. It's scheduled to open in the fall of 2008 as part of the Patriot Place development at Gillette Stadium. For more information on the Hall at Patriot Place and the ongoing Patriot Place development, visit patriot-place.com. and sign up to receive regular emailed updates on its progress, along with a chance to win a $10,000 shopping spree.
Now, Gary, Rob Schuler is the person who left that voicemail for you, and he does the, you know, voice. He was at your wedding, and I saw him. I said, Rob, that was pretty funny, that voice message that you left. That was a good bit. And he kind of looked at me funny. Was that true, or was that a bit that you did with him?
A little of both.
So he really was complaining. That's what I, because Paul, you went
absolutely.
There.
With Eric,
he called and said, "Why aren't I voicing this?" And then I saw it, and I saw it was Eric. I said, "Call me back and leave this message."
Oh, so he really was upset about it.
See, I told you,
because when Fred said it to him, I happened to be watching, and the look on his face was
that wasn't
that's
a
not
joke.
That's not funny.
Yeah,
you know,
so.
I tried to tell him that he was serious, and they were like, no, it was a bit.
It was a bit. He called back and intentionally left it serious.
No, I called
like
Rob
that.
And said, call back and leave this message.
Right. So Gary planned it as a bit, but the guy took it seriously.
No.
But he intentionally took it seriously.
All right.
Is the point. That's the bit, is he wants to make it look like he's really mad about it, but evidently he really wasn't. He didn't have to really act all that much. So he wasn't all that unhappy.
That's what I was saying.
You're missing this?
All right.
Gary had him call back
intentionally
to make a bit. That doesn't mean he's going to say, you know, hey, what's up, Gary? That guy, who's that geek, you know, doing the thing? He was going to make it sound like he was mad. Really mad.
All right. Let's see. Lunch
and we wonder why we call him pompous. He can't even, like, talk to you.
I'm chewing. I didn't want to chew into the microphone.
I thought you already ate your lunch. What are you eating?
Had the apple.
You're eating an apple?
Yeah.
It takes them like 2 hours to eat a lunch.
What's wrong with that?
It's gay.
Yeah, I set myself up for that one.
Scott from Atlanta is the person who bought us lunch today. Thank you so much, Scott. He says, last few times I've written, I've asked about your favorite game and players likely to make the Hall of Fame. This time I'd like your favorite Patriot memory.
could be anything from a game to a play, whatever. I have two. My first home game in the 70s with my father, very specially, was a season ticket holder when Schaefer opened in 70. Second, I love the Ben Watson rundown of Champ Bailey in the 06 playoff game. That game ended badly for us, but I'll never forget that run of Watson's. Again, hope all is well and look forward to listening. So, Scott, thank you so much for lunch. Much appreciated. So, favorite memory.
When Plaxico Burress caught that touchdown in the corner of the end zone.
That's wrong. That's wrong.
I had to replace Andy. You know, if Andy was here, he'd be firing away at that.
My favorite memory is more of a training camp memory because I grew up, I still live in Rhode Island. When the Pats used to train at Bryant College, it was like 10 minutes from my house. Remember the first time I went there to see them practice, to see them in person. And it was cool because back then you could, like after practice, they would let the ropes go and you could walk all over the field and go right up to the players. It's a different world now. You're barely even allowed to breathe near them. But just remember having that closeness with them. They felt more, you know, it felt more real back then than it does now. And then going to my first game at the old Foxborough was another good one, too.
Now you just get to go in the locker room.
Well, that's different, though.
I know. I'm always kidding.
That's tough. There's a lot of good ones.
See, a lot of mine are ended up being losses.
Well, I mean, for me, and it's one that a lot of
people
have.
I'm not surprised by that.
You know, it's an obvious one, but that Vinatieri kick. In 36. The I'll
well,
never forget.
The,
I mean,
the,
that
the 36,
was unbelievable.
That has to be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Just because it was so unbelievable.
I thought you didn't want us to include Super Bowls. That's why.
But
that was somebody else.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, it was this guy, but different email, I think. And the 36 one, that was separate. I mean, when he made that field goal, I really never thought they were going to win the game. Until,
ever.
Until it was over.
I didn't think they would ever win a Super Bowl. Really, ever. I didn't think it was going to happen.
Well, I'm just thinking about that game.
I'm talking about the way the game was unfolding. I mean, it's like the Patriots weren't supposed to be Super Bowl champs, you know. Yeah. Something will happen, you know. And I thought that something was the holding call.
And plus
the fourth down that prevented them from going up 24-3.
And I'll tell you, another amazing something that will always stick with me was that halftime show of that 36 with Bono.
Oh, yeah.
And
all
the
names. Yeah.
I mean, that. I've never seen any halftime show or any
game. It's the only one I ever thought was any good, to be honest with you. It's the only one it wasn't so much Bono because I hate him, but the 9/11 thing was unbelievably moving.
Oh.
I guess I opened myself. I was crying like a baby.
Yeah.
Sitting in the stands
watching
that.
That was unbelievable. I'll never forget that.
Well, I've only been here 3 years, so my top two, I said, are the AFC Championship game, obviously, with Indianapolis and the Super Bowl. Just were both phenomenal. I mean, those are things you'll never forget in life, you know, being at those two great games. But the game that the Patriots won, I think I'd have to say, would be the Baltimore game. There's the emotion that, I mean, it just
never
over
seen anything
and
like that.
Over
never.
And over. It just, I mean, you just thought every time you thought they were dead, they came back, and then you had the
fourth down,
false
fourth
star
down,
penalty.
Fourth
yeah.
down.
Yes, the way they came back, too. Not just like, you know, if they make a play to get a first down,
right.
Great. It was those ridiculous things, like
it
a false start
and,
keeps a drive alive. You know, a phantom timeout gets called.
And when
you get
a game like that, the press box is almost dead silent. I mean, everybody is just
except for Michael Wilbon.
well, the thing about it is,
I turned around at one point. And I go, Michael, I've seen this ending 17. How could you be surprised? They do this every week.
And you know, not to complain. I know it sounds like I'm complaining, but the problem is with all these moments. We watch them in the press box. And we're not even allowed to cheer. So, you know,
when Wes Welker gets held.
Are they not going to call it?
That's not cheering. That's commenting on the game. But you know, you don't get to really, like, you know, act out when these things happen.
Yeah, that's why the ones that I would pick would be before I was working here. And the two games that stick out to me would be, one would be the first playoff game, first playoff win in Foxborough, the Pittsburgh game in the fog, first play of the game. Offensive play of the game. They started out on defense 3-and-out, but then
a bomb from Bledsoe to Glenn.
The whole place was going absolutely crazy. And then the other one would be a couple of years later, Pete Carroll's second year, I think, 98, the Monday night game against Miami when the Patriots went down, took the lead with less than 2 minutes left. Miami went down, took the lead, and then the Patriots came back again, and Bledsoe threw the touchdown on fourth down, I think, to Sean Jefferson, beat the blitz for a touchdown.
And he had the broken finger.
With the broken finger, right. Yeah, all with a broken finger. Those two games really stick out for me.
Mario from San Benito, that's actually in South Texas in the Rio Grande
that's
Valley.
That's what I said.
You said California.
I thought San Bernardino. I meant to say something to you because when you were reading the email, I thought to myself, I'm thinking of San Bernardino, not San Benito.
He says he's 17-year-old, huge Pats fan. Thanks for reading the email, and good luck to Tom in Vegas.
Thanks. We got a young crowd today, huh?
I guess so. Paul,
well,
you know,
all out of school.
That's true.
That
we have nothing to do. It's a beautiful day out. Just sit and listen to the streaming radio. Go out and play. Do something.
That Pittsburgh game, that playoff game, when Bledsoe threw that first pass to Glenn, I was sitting in the corner of the end zone where the Patriots had the ball, and we couldn't see the completion. It was that foggy on the other end of the.
Well, that was the remember later in the game, Curtis Martin had the sweep around the end.
Yeah, that 80-yard touchdown.
And he went about 75 yards. Yeah. Well, that was it started in our end because I was in probably on like the 5-yard line, and he ran about 10, maybe 10 or 15 yards, and then we lost him.
Disappeared.
And all of a sudden, there was this huge roar down the other end. This is Patriots. I don't understand what this has to do with glory days.
They played the tooting your own horn thing, too.
I could tell you about my exploits on the field, but then that would be glory days.
And it would only last about 10 seconds.
Short story as well.
Mike Gherkin says, Tom, I know I've never sent lunch or anything like that, but I can offer a free place to stay for Tom on his way to Vegas. I live in Lawrence, Kansas, and you will have to go right by here on your way. I figure this would be a good spot to stop as we can hit the bars in the evening, and you could probably have your pick of girls that are barely legal.
Yeah, that's what I want to do when I'm with my wife and my dog. Let's go out to strip clubs. You wait here. I'll be right back.
Strippers has his list of 25 things that every guy can do and or should be able to do, and he's wondering how many of them we can. Number one is patch a radiator hose. No clue. I don't know how to do that.
I don't even know what that means.
No. Protect your computer. Yeah, I can do that.
I can't.
Rescue a boater who has capsized.
You must be kidding. Did these get easier? Where's change a light bulb?
Frame a wall. No.
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 Frame a wall?
Every guy is supposed to know how to do these things?
By the way, Eric's been able to do every one of these so far.
I haven't said anything, Fred.
Just
for the record, I'm over. Some of them I'm not even sure exactly what the parameters are.
How about retouch digital photos?
Yes.
I don't know why guys should know how to do
that. No, I don't think I can.
I think guys like Eric should know how to do that.
I do know
what I think you know what I'm talking about.
Back up a trailer. Now, this is one that I have tried to do, and I cannot get the knack for it.
I can't back up big things. I don't know why.
Because, you know,
no chance. I know
trailer,
what you're talking about. You turn the opposite way that you really want to go.
Fix a dead outlet. I've done that before.
Nope.
That I could do.
Yeah.
I could do
no
that.
No clue.
Although I still get my friend to do it for me. I could probably do that if I had to.
How about navigate with a map and compass?
Yes.
Yeah.
No way.
Well, wait.
If it's on a GPS, I can
do that. Oh, I thought in the car or like in the woods?
Anywhere.
With a map?
Not the GPS. I'm talking about...
No, but if I was in a car, I could get around with a map. If you throw me in the woods with a map and a compass, I'm going to die.
Okay. Use a torque wrench.
I don't even know what that is.
It's just another one. I'm not even sure I know what the parameters are.
How about sharpen a knife? That I can do.
Never done it.
Not, no. I couldn't do it well.
Perform CPR? Yes,
yeah, I could do that. I'm on the board.
I have
a theory
taken a
with
class,
that.
But I don't think
I was going to say. I have a theory on that. I've taken a CPR class, but if someone was dying, I'd be the last one you want
freeze.
Down there.
You'd freeze.
I just really wouldn't remember.
I wouldn't remember how to do it.
In that situation, there's no way I'm going to remember one, two. You know what I mean?
You're panicking because you want
to. There's no question I would crack a few ribs. There's no doubt.
That's
in my
okay.
Mind.
It's better to do that than have him die.
No, I would try, and I definitely remember a lot of it, but I would be reluctant to have to do it.
How about fillet a fish?
No chance. No.
You know I don't eat seafood, Fred.
I can't even.
You know
catch
I
a
don't
fish.
Speak Spanish.
How about maneuver a car out of a skid?
What's a skid?
You have to turn in the direction of the skid.
What's a skid?
When you skid off the road.
Yeah, I did that once. I ended up in the guardrail, so no.
But that's one of those things that everybody knows that you turn into the skid.
Right.
But let me see when you're in a skid.
Oh, yeah.
Do.
Right. How about getting a car unstuck? I've done that before.
Yeah.
Unstuck in what? Like a snowbank?
Yeah. Mud, snow, whatever.
I can get it out of snow.
Call your friend with the pickup truck and you
know. How about backup data? Of course, I do that.
Yep.
Paint a room, I can do
that. So how long are we going here?
I have two, CPR and paint.
How about this one, mix concrete?
Every guy's supposed to know how to mix concrete?
Well, the instructions
when
are on
was
the
this
back.
Made? 1942?
I've done it. You know, what do they call the quickcrete?
I've done that stuff. Well, yeah, the quickcrete, I filled some cracks in the foundation of my garage.
Sure.
Does that count?
Yeah. I judge guys by how much sports they know, how many girls they slept with, and
how many tattoos they have.
No, right? It's just stuff like that. I don't really. If you can't mix concrete, it doesn't mean you're not a guy.
Clean a bolt action rifle.
Nope. No. Sorry.
How about changing oil and filter? I could do it, but why do it?
Yeah. I don't have a clue.
I couldn't do it, and I agree with your assessment as well.
So how long are we going here?
Hook up an HDTV?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that.
All right. Bleed brakes. No idea.
Don't even know what it means.
Paddle a canoe.
It's another one of those parameters that I'm not even sure. Paddle a canoe?
Yeah. That's pretty straightforward.
Me and Allison got stuck in the middle of the lake. My father had to come out.
I don't see why I wouldn't be able to paddle a canoe, but I've never tried.
It's a weird dynamic to that thing. It looks a lot easier than it is.
I figured that.
How about this? Two more. Fix a bike flat.
No.
And finally, extend your wireless network.
Extend your. So what do we average, like three a person?
How to fix a bike flat and extend your wireless network end up in the same list?
I'm guessing strippers is a big car guy, because like half of those things were things to do.
I didn't hear pick up a girl. You know what I mean? Things that real men should be able to do.
That's true. It's a good point. You know?
All these gay guys are out there fixing cars with each other, and the real men are picking up women.
I think one of the criteria would be I've helped 90% of the women I slept with achieve, you know. I think that should be
success in their lives.
Gary,
is that where you're going with
that? Gary. The show spins out of control.
Are you telling me that he's not trying to get fired?
Well, that's, you know, talking about being a man, right? How about support a family? Raise a kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a little bit different than
Thank
the first
you,
one.
Good one.
You
know? Thanks for reeling yourself in.
Good save, Fred.
See, I balance it.
Good save.
You are a good balance. And you'll say, what, Mr. Kraft? I was talking about raising a family.
Right.
Providing.
Let's see. Who's this? Taz. Last game of the season is Pats at Bills. I always go to these games, but since it's the last one of the year, what do you guys think about it? Will they be going for 16-0, which then means will it be a great game to go to, or will it be a game where they probably lost one or two games in the season with starters possibly sitting out the last game? I don't want to come watch the bench in the middle of the winter in Buffalo.
You're not a real fan.
I, you know, if you don't want to go to the game, if it doesn't mean anything, then I wouldn't go.
Well, and plus,
the chances of that being a game like last year with the Giants
right.
are astronomically slim.
Right. Plus, now that Billy Ogden's is closed in Buffalo, why would you go to any game there?
I'll tell you what, though. If they're going for 16-0 in that game, that's probably about as shocked as I'll be since I started following sports. I mean, that would rank up there to me with the Tyson knockout. That I would just be astonished if a team did that back-to-back seasons. Just knowing what they did this year, how one or two plays could have changed that.
Right.
You have to get all those things to go your way again. Yeah. It's tough.
It's very tough, and we take it for granted. Dave in Storrs, Connecticut is on the phone. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to say to Tom that the show was good before he came, but when he came, it was great. He's an X factor. Like Fred's pick is Wes Welker in the Super Bowl for an X factor.
Well, see, you know what? I think I know what it was. See, I had to replace Brian Morey, so right. You could have gotten a monkey in here, and that would have been an upgrade.
What were you on about? He's right.
I just wanted to say, Tom, that you'll be sorely missed. You were a good addition to the show, and it's like losing Randy Moss in free agency. So.
I often compare myself to Moss, and
that's pretty high praise. Well, comparing Tom Sally to
his room, cutting ties with this whole analogy.
Well, the thing I'll miss the most is the guys I work with and the fans. I mean, the locker room
fans,
another man, him and Andy, they're the men of the people.
Right.
The
well,
fans.
I'm talking about the show
with all that interacting that you do with the fans.
No, I mean this show, listeners,
okay.
not the
okay.
yeah, the listeners of this show.
You got to see us when we walk out to training camp. We're hiding.
Right.
We got our bags up over our heads so no one sees
anything. With people and signing autographs. Not Andy, but no, that's what I'm going to miss the
most. Andy couldn't run away from the fans fast enough.
The locker room, you know, that's okay. Writing for the paper, you know, but.
I actually have an actual football question today. So,
oh, excellent.
My question is that I know we're all hyped about Chad Jackson in that number two spot, but just looking at his college numbers from his senior year, you know, and we also saw him play last year. It doesn't look like he's got that game-breaking speed. Like, they kept throwing him deep balls last year, expecting him to track him down, and I don't see that really as his ability.
That's one of the best comments, most accurate comments ever said on this show.
Yeah, I think he has the speed, but he doesn't play that.
Right, and we heard that in Florida, it was they were throwing him short passes, and
right.
You know, he didn't really. But then you look at him here, and I'll tell you, I've seen plenty of guys at Florida being used as deep threats since he left, and they're fast. They're real fast. So I think you're right. I think time speed, yeah, he's fast, but on the football field, I think he might be better like going across the middle with his build and his size.
I think he's a West. I think he's got good hands, like in the short range passes. I think he's got a lot of athletic ability, some elusiveness. So if you put him, you know, give him a short pass, like, you know, we were talking about those screen passes. I think those are better for him. Maybe go across the middle on short routes. I don't think that he's this, you know, Dante Stallworth.
No way. In Dallas, when Stallworth caught that pass and turned upfield, he was gone. I mean, when he gets in the open field, he's gone. You're not going to catch him.
Yeah, but he is going to be used as the outside guy. I don't think he's quick enough to be an inside slot guy. He's fast. I don't think he's quick. And I don't think you're going to succeed, you know, trying to buzz him, you know, with Wes Welker, you know, in underneath zones. You can go across the middle and not necessarily be a slot guy.
Right.
I think with his size and his strength, he's going to be able to catch a lot of passes doing that. I agree with you guys. I don't think he's going to get downfield like Dante Stallworth could. We didn't see a ton of it out of Stallworth last year. He only caught 46 passes. But the ones that he did catch, he had a lot of those, you know, deep balls. But I also think you're going to see – I think that you're going to see an improvement in Jackson because I think he's healthy for the first time heading into training camp. He hasn't been healthy yet going into training camp, but I think that's going to make a big difference for him. I think the team overall is healthier heading into training camp than it's been the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think you're right.
David Storrs, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, that's good stuff. The Chad Jackson thing is kind of funny to me because I think we're all excited – because he's going to get a chance to play, and we haven't seen anything out of him yet. So anything he does, we're going to be like, oh, this looks like Chad Jackson's breakout. But I do think he has some physical skills that other guys in the team, you know, save Randy Moss, don't have. And I think it's going to be interesting to see if we can see some of those applied on the field.
Tom and
and I think Stallworth's one of the fastest guys in the NFL, I don't think Chad Jackson is.
Amazing. Straight line quickness for Stallworth. And to me, what I found really funny is his ability to break tackles.
Yeah, he's great
really
at that.
Hard guy to tackle in the open field.
Yep.
And it wasn't just running away from guys, breaking tackles.
Yeah, it was tough. Tom with from Providence just wanted to know if any of you watched Felger and Grandy? Is that who it was?
Sean Grandy was with Felger with Tomasi.
On Comcast last night at 10 o'clock, Tomasi spoke live for the first time about his mistake over the taped walkthrough article. I just wanted to know what you thought about the interview. Did not see it.
It's like the movie critic on Saturday Night Live. I can't comment because I didn't see it.
I hope he didn't get paid for that.
Of course he did.
Sure he did.
Oh, that's not right. let's see. Bill Berry's trying to give another. He sent the email in earlier that I just couldn't decipher.
Oh,
so he has a version for morons, he says.
That's for Fred, absolutely.
If Brady is injured in a game one, what happens?
If Brady is injured in game one, what happens? I think they're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, big trouble.
But my guess would be that the winner of the Matt Gutierrez-Matt Castle sweepstakes takes over.
Yeah, Paul, I just wrote in Ask PFW, someone had asked the same thing, and I said, you know, when it comes to Dallas, Indianapolis, New England, if your guy goes down for the year, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, you can try to squeeze like the Jets did that one year with Parcells, an 8-8 year out of it. Maybe good coaching does that for you, but you can't lose guys of that magnitude at the quarterback position and expect someone to come in, even if it's a Brad Johnson.
If
he came in Dallas, they're not going to win anything.
I somewhat agree with you because I don't think there are very, very many teams that have guys that are that good.
Right.
And
a lot of teams, you know, it's not really a huge drop-off.
Yeah. A team can go from it's people, I think, mistake it for the caliber of the backup. To me, it's the caliber of the starter.
I agree 100%.
You know, the gap between Damon Heward and Trent Green that year wasn't that big.
Right.
And the gap between Damon Heward and Tom Brady is enormous.
And even like Philip Rivers and Billy Volek, while Rivers is obviously a better player, if you could actually argue, well, if Volek's in there, a healthy Volek, but you could never do that in New England. I mean, you would take Brady at 40% over anybody else.
Right. You know, I'm trying to remember the last time a quarterback who was considered, let's say, like one of the top three or four in the league went out for the year with an injury. I can't think of a time.
You probably have to go back to like 99 when Testaverde went out. I mean, I know it sounds weird to think of Testaverde, but at that time, he was probably one of the best four or five quarterbacks in football. And he went out in that first game against us, my first game with you, Freddie.
Yep.
And that destroyed their season.
Yep, it sure did. We're about an hour behind the news, but apparently, according to ProFootballTalk.com, posted at 12:24, the Patriots have cut Willie Andrews.
Yeah, I didn't think he'd make it to camp. I didn't know necessarily if he would make it through the day. But
Gary says it's a rumor.
That's because it's on Pro Football Talk.
So anyway,
yeah, but sometimes Florio does post a.
He's got some
that they have released him. You know that.
I mean,
right.
I think there's enough smoke. You know. Obviously, he's going to be released if this happened, and now Florio's right. You know,
I mean,
he's gone.
Is he writing it from like Mike Reese's blog or something, or is he just saying that?
I hear. Gary, did you read it? Gary
was
playing
a rumor.
Solitaire.
You didn't hear him say rumor into the microphone.
What?
I will find it.
what are you doing there?
Let's see, Mini Gary, do that.
I'll tell you, it took him 2 days to get cranky after his honeymoon.
Let's see. Kamani writes in. He wants to know, Eric, why it takes you so long to put things up on your website. It's been a month since you got back and still no pictures.
You're the only one who looks at his website. You're the only one that cares.
Are you up there?
Not yet.
Are you going to?
Yeah, I will.
Eric,
leave Eric alone. He's been very busy the last few days and very productive.
Yeah, Eric,
doing a lot of stuff.
Eric is also redesigning his website. What will be the changes? Will you show your color work? And how are you going to afford all of that?
Don't worry about it.
Wait a minute. Now,
see,
Eric,
that's where you
right
rub
there.
Everybody the wrong way.
This
is your genuinely website.
Interested in what you're doing.
He's
you're
doing it to try to get
worry.
A ride.
If you don't want to talk, you shouldn't be on the show.
No, Fred.
That's
you know,
why you're doing John
you
Rook's
know
show.
That I'm not doing John
yes,
Rook's
you
show.
You are.
No.
Yes.
We're hiring a new guy for Tom. The
yeah,
new guy, low on the totem pole, gets in
spot.
There. No. He gets low guy on the totem pole.
No, you're doing John Rook's
show. No. You told me when I got here that you hire and you assign things based on seniority.
I assign things based on what I think is best.
That's not what you said. That's not what you said when I first
Thanks,
came
Bill.
In.
Well, he lied to you. What do you want?
That's what I'm trying to find
I
out. Did he
right
lie to,
change
me or not?
My opinion. I assign things based on seniority when
yes.
it comes to things that, you know, are beneficial to the job. Doing this radio thing is just something we do. It doesn't matter if you're doing this show or John Rook's show.
Yes,
it's
it
equal.
Does.
No, it doesn't.
It does matter,
no.
Fred.
And you can better help the organization by doing John Rook's show.
That's a good spin
it's,
for you,
it's
Fred.
It's not a spin. It's a fact.
It's a good spin.
It's a
but
fact.
But I'm not buying it.
The Fox News of the Patriots right there.
I just can't believe that you're so upset about this because you just never say anything on this show.
What are you talking about,
you had
Paul?
Your chance right there with the website.
Don't worry about it.
I can understand,
that's your
the girlfriend, but the website? I mean, you should be promoting it, have some fun with it.
You know this guy's just doing it to try to, you know.
Window. I mean, now he's gone.
John Gruden was just right behind
him. He can't say anything, and you can say whatever you want.
Eric, let me give you some advice.
Oh, okay.
You have to tell these people how to think. When I first came here, they hated me. And then I told them how to think.
Then you said, no, you should like me. And it worked.
They're sheep. Have them follow.
Yeah, I'm going to do some redesigning, Fred.
If they only
By the way,
that
fans number one. Woo!
If the fans only knew that Tom was being serious with that comment.
If they only knew. That's right.
Andy hates the fans the most.
Andrew from Maine
He's
writes,
a man of the people. That's what he tells me.
Andrew from Maine writes in, that Matt guy from last show was pretty cool. Now that he and Eric are going out, I must ask, Eric, how does his ass taste?
All right.
You read that on the air?
Thanks a lot,
Fred. That's from Shaq O'Neal.
That wasn't from Shaq O'Neal. That was from Fred Kirsch.
No, he did the thing.
Yeah, we know what he did, Fred.
I was hunting a couple weeks ago, and because I can't chew tobacco, I also listened to the podcast in the woods. But the bad thing was I was stalking this deer, and there was a hilarious part in the podcast, and I couldn't help but start screaming in laughter. Point is, the deer ran away, and my uncle hasn't taken me hunting since. As for Andy's question about my nut being removed, they don't put a glass nut in to reset the balance because if it breaks, you have a glass in your sack. But let's just say that when I told my girlfriend about it, she asked to see, and you can guess where that went. Oh,
oh boy.
Now.
This is too much, Fred. I mean, first of all, the chewing tobacco industry is done because if people who are hunting aren't chewing, I want to know who's chewing tobacco other than Gary.
Football players.
But I'm just saying, like, you would think hunter, like, that's made for being in the woods for 12 hours, and that's what hunters do.
Got nothing else to do?
Yeah. You know what it is? It's technology is killing the chewing tobacco industry. They got these podcasts now. I mean, who hunts and listens to podcasts? It should be against the rules. You guys are hypocrites, just like the Amish.
Yeah, that item that on Pro Football Talk, Fred, that Gary just printed out for us, it's not by any means official. He's just supposing that he got arrested for the second time and he'll probably be getting released. So,
Alex from New Jersey talking about another article on Pro Football Talk in an effort to find out who's the dirtiest player in the NFL. ESPN.com surveyed head coaches and asked them to name just one player who's the dirtiest of them all. Of the 17 coaches who supplied an answer, 11 of them chose Rodney Harrison.
As well they should.
You think Bill was one of those coaches that answered?
Yeah, I don't know.
17 coaches? I'm going to guess not.
I love Harrison.
I thought you were going to say
him. I love the way
he
plays on the field, but the guy's dirty.
Well, the coaches were allowed to answer anonymously, so.
I mean, you think he's dirty on the field, don't you, Frank?
I think he's overly aggressive sometimes.
Yeah, dirty.
Yeah. I don't think he's dirty.
But you say that. It's not a negative connotation with me. I think
he tries to hurt people.
No, he does not try to hurt
people.
That's
dirty.
But, all right.
You know,
I've seen him in piles, twisting guys' arms.
Curiosity, what would a guy have to do for you to say he's trying to hurt somebody?
Trying to hurt them.
Okay. What does that mean?
Like, you know, in the pile, bending fingers.
How about jumping on a guy consistently when he's already down?
That's not trying to hurt him?
Really do that. I think it's common.
I'm not saying
he's not dirty.
Take Rodney Harrison out of this.
Okay.
I'm asking you what you would have to – what would the definition of a guy trying to hurt somebody?
Punching a guy.
Because I'm just wondering what – you know, how you would make that determination that the guy was trying to hurt him. I don't know how you can make that determination.
You know, punching a guy, you know, twisting a leg.
All right.
You know, the stuff that Mawe does at center.
That's what I was getting at.
Right.
I just figured it was for guys that do the same stuff that Roddy does, only in different uniforms.
No,
okay.
No, no.
Harrison could have played for the Raiders in the late 70s and have been fine.
My absolute favorite guy on the team, Rodney Harrison. He's a dirty player.
The best guy I've met since I've been here. But if you're asking me on the field, he's dirty, and I like it. I think safeties have to play that way, but he's a dying breed at the position.
Josh says, of course people are starting to come around on Eric. Tom is leaving, and Andy's an a-hole. What else is left?
Yeah, he doesn't really have much to...
We know that Paul and Fred can't carry the show on their own. At least we know for sure Paul can't do it.
That's not fair.
That's not right.
Did Fred submit a new picture for PFWinProgress.com? His eyes are open in the current pick.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
That's an improvement. Bring on Mini Gary Fantasy Football. I don't know where he got that picture from.
It's an improvement, though.
Thank you.
I have a question to ask. Why is Eric not in this fantasy football thing, and why was he not invited to Gary's wedding?
Well, because it would open him up to show, you know, and he doesn't want to open him up to show that he doesn't know anything.
You got to become a man of the people.
Do you get that?
Yeah. Did you get that rigmarole?
You got to be more a man of the people.
All right.
Your artsy-fartsy crowd isn't going to follow you here.
Fred,
had nothing to do with that, Eric.
Fred, isn't it amazing that you and I can't carry a show that we did for about 6 years before Andy and Tom got here?
Yeah, but the show's better with more personalities.
Oh, yeah.
Well, first of all, Fred probably knew something about football back then, so...
Which is why I'm not going to Rook's show.
Well, back then, right, I followed the sport.
Right. I was going to say, now you're just...
What?
I said, which is why I'm not going to Rook's show, right?
Listen, I don't make those decisions.
You know that'll become your show, right?
I'm not in...
He's gone so much that it'll be your show.
Well, I don't think people want that.
And then the show will be off the air.
I'm not in charge of personnel decisions. Those are the jurisdiction of Fred S.
I'm going to be honest with you, Eric. Mm. Being here for 3 years, I've kind of been able to tell when Fred's kidding and when he's not.
Yeah.
He wasn't kidding when he said you're going just now. So
what about the guy that replaces Tom? Why are you so opposed to that?
Depending on who he is. Again, Eric, you forgot what I said at the beginning of the show. The number one criteria that someone has to have.
As a writer. I remember that. Yeah.
That person may not be good for the radio. And then he won't do the radio.
Okay, let's assume that you make the right decision and hire someone who's a good writer and can do radio.
Okay.
You're gone.
I'll have to judge the personality. Well, it's all about chemistry, Eric. Mm. Someone's at the door. Paul?
in Andy's absence, why don't you take it over?
Hey, guys, it's Cali Girl.
How you doing?
Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day.
How many times have we done this?
You'd think after all this time you'd actually know how it works and wait for the introduction after the doorbell. But anyway, today's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day in Andy's absence is Dirty Rodney.
Dirty Rodney.
That's Dirty Rodney.
I can only imagine. All right. Now, what were we talking about before the doorbell rang?
About
the
Eric
radio and me not going to John Rook's show.
It all has to do with chemistry. So I'll have to make that determination after the person's hired. I'm not hiring a person, though,
based on radio.
On their
no,
radio
I know that.
Skills.
No, I know that. I'm assuming that you're going to hire someone who has both skills.
Right.
Because
right.
You've made those good decisions before.
Right. You know, I allow you on this show because you're a nice Catholic boy. You know, I want
to. What does that have to do with
I want to make you feel good about yourself. I'm trying to help you with your self-esteem. You know,
I don't think I have any problems with that, according to my...
I don't think he has any problem with that either.
Well, the pomposity sometimes is a shield toward...
Yeah, I don't think that's the case in this one.
All right. Let's see. Jamie writes in, I was just wondering about the status of Kevin Jones. I heard he worked out for a few teams, but the New England Patriots were not included. Does this mean our interest is gone in him? This is a good or bad thing in your opinion?
I think that they already sat and talked with him, and I think that's probably... all the information they need.
A lot of times they'll talk to these guys and they'll just wait. And if he gets signed with somebody else,
emergency lists.
Yeah, exactly.
They have, you know, they have their list. For when, you know, what happens in the middle of August if Sammy Morris shows that he's really not recovered from that injury or he's having more problems or you know some kind of complications?
Right.
They go to one of the guys that they explored that might still be available. That's what pro personnel is all about.
And I remember Belichick saying it very clearly in one of his press conferences years ago. He says a lot of times. In this business, if you don't have to make a decision, don't. Sometimes time kind of makes
the
decision
for you. So that tells me that
you.
They think that no one else is going to sign him, and I have to think that's health-related because even as a pass-catching back, the way he catches the ball out of the backfield, you think some team would have snatched him up and had some use for him, and no one's touching this guy with a 10-foot pole. So if that's the case, right,
when
what
did
you
he,
just said.
When did he have the workout?
Oh, that Kevin
that
Jones?
Not the Patriots. He didn't work out for the Patriots.
He had a workout
for the NFL. In late June, like the 26th or something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty recent.
It was within a week.
Okay.
Didn't some guys say that they didn't think he would be able to pass a physical? Where did I hear that from? I think it might have been on this show. Probably
us. It was probably one of us.
Probably Andy.
P.S. Are Tom and Cali Girl this aggressive in all of their fantasy leagues? Tom left a message entitled, "Why I Will Win This League," in the content merely read, "Because I am Tom Casale, that is all."
I also left one that said, huge news about Eric. And then when you click on it, it says, he is a homo.
Oh, see, now that's not right.
But you told me about it. So
that makes it okay.
That makes it all right. Did Favre win this game, by the way?
Yes, they did, but he couldn't possibly have played any worse.
End of the third, and they're down by 14.
Now, Fred, are we doing a show on Thursday or no?
No. You should probably talk about that.
Yeah, we're not doing a show on Thursday. Half day here at Gillette Stadium, so we'll take advantage of that for the 4th of July weekend. So that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. I will see you next Tuesday for another edition. Paul, what do you got? You got something to say? No? That's it? Okay. We'll see you next week. Your story to remain untold, but all the promises you made, from the cradle to the grave.